Now a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Good morning. For years I've urged support of the war in Iraq, but that support has been dwindling. I've expressed many reasons to support this war so far. The weapons of mass destruction, the removal of Saddam Hussein, the liberating of Iraq, and of course, my favorite, the dangers of emboldening the terrorists if we leave. But after all this, I'm down now to my last reason. We got to do this for the kids. For all the world's children who have come of age during this fine war and who now count on the war as part of the fabric of their daily lives, always being there for them. In the bedtime stories they crave about the troop movements in Baghdad and surging. When they get up early Saturday morning to watch their favorite Iraq war news programs with that bowl of cereal in their lap, what right do we have to take that away from them? They have fallen in love with this war. Their playground games of roadside bomb or massacre at the mosque, it wouldn't be the same anymore. But perhaps worst of all, the children of today could lose faith in their president, who will no longer be able to tell them exciting tales of the suicide bombers in the Baghdad marketplaces or about the mass beheadings of the kidnapped victims. And that's just sad. I implore you, for the sake of our kids, join me in support of this war. God bless you.
Studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show.
Indeed it is. Hello there. It's 3 minutes and 28 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of May in the year of our Lord 2007. Thank you for coming along and making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, and yet not really with the thing in the hole. I'm sorry, I'm distracted by this. I'm searching for this Nickelback news.
I gotta reduce this. I'll minimize this. I'll look for it later.
What was I saying? Something fleshly. I haven't even talked about the fact that at the listener party, which happened a couple weeks ago, we very nearly sponsored every single part of Scotty J's body. We had this whole plan, sort of like a NASCAR vehicle. You know, like a banner down his right leg and another one across, like a goldenpalace.com thing across his forehead. Maybe something else across one of his buttocks. If you would like to sponsor one of Scotty J's buttocks, or perhaps another section of his body, be it a less interesting section, you can contact Dean Snyder. It's 503-222-1011. Get one nostril. Yes. Dear advertiser, thank you for your sponsorship of Scotty J's left nostril. It is only through your fiduciary efforts that this program continues to provide entertainment to the children across the great city of Portland. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. We are here in the plushly appointed and not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. It is 503-733-2970. If you'd like to engage with us telephonically speaking today, 503-733-2970. It is 503-733-2970, 503-P-970. If you would like to email us, you can do that as well. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. See, here come the random phone calls already. I don't have to prompt people for them anymore. Just come in. No matter how tedious and off-topic your phone call may be, rest assured that Scotty J will not even give it a moment's thought. He won't hesitate for even a picosecond before mindlessly herding that phone call along into the studio where I will take it. And be astonished again at how completely and utterly irrelevant it is to whatever the discussion is at hand. What he does, ladies and gentlemen, and he does it, or doesn't do it, rather, like no one else can, or doesn't, can't. Whatever the right word is, you just fill that in at home. 503-733-2970. It is Thursday, and welcome to day 12. If you want to engage with us in a binary fashion, too, that's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Why do I have this? Oh, it's because we're talking about Al Sharpton later. And why wouldn't we, ladies and gentlemen? Your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, your 2 cents, your what have you. That can all come this way. That can all come via those two methods. All right, here's what we got coming up today. You know, the thing about that George Bush, every time we play that at the top of the show, it just infects the way I speak for like the next 8 or 9 minutes. And it takes me until about 15 after the hour to quit talking like that. And I don't even really sound like that guy. I can't really even do that voice. And every time I try to do George Bush, it sounds like Bill Clinton anyway. Here's what's coming up today. Stories continuing the following phrases. Ow, ow, my neck. Hey, hey, leave my spine alone. That's sort of an artist rendering of the quote. It's not actually that quote, but it's close enough. That's actually funnier than the actual quote in the story, which is something along the lines of ow, 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 followed by just like a sort of a gurgling noise, I would imagine. I wasn't really there. What are the other subjects we're going to be covering today in the various news stories that are placed before me like some sort of journalistic buffet? Vomit. Placenta. More vomit. Circumcision. Skill saw. Table saw, a corpse, and severed heads. That's just, I mean, and that's just this one pile right here. That's just this stuff. So we got all that to get you. What else? CNN radio correspondent Steve Kastenbaum will be joining us later on this hour to talk about a beacon of tolerance, diversity, and understanding, Al Sharpton. Well, I think there's just the slightest chance. I can't really say that this is the case, but it does seem like there's the vaguest whisper of a chance that Al Sharpton may actually be held responsible for one of his moronic statements. We'll see. That Mitt Romney, here's the thing about Mitt Romney, he's never going to be elected president unless there's some sort of a violent, bloody, revolutionary coup in this country, which is not a thing that I would necessarily rule out from that guy, because here's the thing about him, he has those T-1000 eyes. He's the governor of Massachusetts. He's got those weird, dead fish eyes, you know? Like the eyes of a guy who just makes sort of an unbroken, you know, face-to-face contact with you as he's sliding a big knife into your stomach. That's the face of Mitt Romney. What else? So Steve Katzenbaum's going to join us. Bob Noodles Costantini at the bottom of the hour to talk about the latest impotent and futile gesture from the Democratic Party in terms of stopping the Iraq military operation. Later on today, we'll be announcing the glorious bastard of the week. It could be you. Statistically speaking, it's probably not going to be you. But I have to dangle that hope in front of you to try to get you to listen longer. It could be you. What else? Well, that's it. I mean, that's not it, but that's all we're going to talk about right now at this very moment. Again today, speaking of dangling, I will dangle in front of Scotty's face. Speaking of... Never mind.
What are you going to dangle in front of his face?
Nothing. And in fact, I'm going to back up from making the observation I was going to make, which started with the phrase, speaking of dangling. I'm just going to use this phrase. And if you're someone who's listening to the station a lot these days, maybe you're listening to this program as well as maybe Likas or Austin Dennis Miller. I'm just going to use the phrase, come on, Jim. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. And if you listen to the station enough, you know what I'm talking about. Come on, Jim.
Jim. So wrong.
Jim, I've got to have it.
Give it to me now, Jim.
Jim, I've got to have your... 503-733-2970. You can also email it's rick@rickemerson.com. Some other things. Oh, yeah, no, I was going to say that I do have this top five, which now just sort of becomes, it's become like a room in your house where everything else goes that you swear you're going to clean one of these days. You know, it's like everybody, when somebody comes to visit, you take all the socks that are laying around the house and you toss them into the office and you shut the door and you swear to God that one of these days you're actually going to clean the office itself, but you never do. That's what this top five has sort of become. I do mean to get to it. It's terrible. And it will be the subject of much mirth and mockery and scorn and merriment. So we'll try to get to that today. I probably won't, but... Well, God damn it if I don't try to every day. It is 503-733-2970. Before we do anything else, hello there. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you, sir or madam, as the case may be?
Am I on? Rick.
Yes, hi,
okay.
Hello.
Yeah, I don't have internet access. I got to get on the road here to Hillsboro in a second, but how would I pledge money to the bike challenge?
Oh, to the Emerson, we should know, by the way, the Emerson Bike Challenge is not a CBS radio promotion. They want me to say that over and over and over again.
So then,
hundreds of times a day.
So would like CNN correspondents be available to challenge also?
I'm not sure.
I mean, could they donate to the fund as well?
Well, no, anybody can. Here, let me just say this, and as I will say this by way of explanation, that anybody can, to the best of my knowledge, and I will give this blanket disclaimer. What is it called? The Emerson. What is the actual name of the challenge, Sarah? Do you even know?
I can't remember.
I don't have it in front of me.
I thought it was like Rick Reds for the retarded.
I don't think that's the technically speaking, I don't think that's the name. Let me look. Emerson Challenge. Help Rick. And by the way, I would like to commend Seamus, who did this, on the correct use of semicolons. Emerson Challenge, : help Rick, : help the retarded. So the deal is you can go to rickemerson.com. That's my site, rickemerson.com. There's a link there. Or you can just go directly there, which is emersonchallenge.blogspot.com. There are currently $5,061.84 in pledges. That is now $19.32 per day. This all kicks in Monday. And again, this is not a challenge that is in any way sponsored by, promoted by, endorsed by, encouraged by, advocated by anybody responsible for anything at CBS. This is an external promotion only that hinges solely and simply on my bike riding, or lack thereof, starting this coming Monday.
Okay. I got to get on the road, but I'll put my $100 in there.
All right. Thanks.
Wow.
Yeah, great.
You
thanks. Bet. Yeah, thanks so much. See, and that's the thing. Really, that's really the damnable misery of this whole thing, is that every time some guy decides to pile on by donating $100 or, you know, or whatever, easy to 10 cents for every day I do something or other, it just increases all of this pressure on me and means that I'm going to be more guilt-ridden and just going to feel worse about myself, and I'm going to be the object of public scorn and mockery and ridicule if I don't bicycle. But on the other hand, really, morally speaking, I can't tell the guy not to do it, because then I'm taking money away from retarded children. So thanks, Seamus, you dick. Thanks for that. Son of a bitch. I appreciate it. Thanks so much for helping. In any event, you can go to rickemerson.com if you really, really want to and find out more about it. There are currently over $5,000 in pledges. It's $19.32 a day. And he's got not language of my choosing. This is something that Seamus has named. He's got the, quoting from his website now, I really can't stress enough how much this is not a CBS radio promotion.
Huh.
He's got the Rick-tardometer set up to run. And apparently every day that I do not bicycle, Rick has screwed retarded kid out of, and then it will ratchet up by $20 a day. For every day that I do not bicycle, so I appreciate that.
Really? Yes. The Rick-tardo meter?
Why would I make that up? If it didn't say that, why would I choose that particular series of syllables to say on the air? In case you're not quite sure what he's referring to, there is a huge picture of Corky Thatcher. So there you go. Thanks. All right, 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Steele. How are you doing today?
I'm okay. My upstairs neighbors were up again last night making all kinds of noise, and I come to find out that they're moving out, so that's why they're making so much noise.
Oh, because how nice of them to pack everything at night. Let's wait until the sun goes down and it's 2 in the morning and start moving everything at the box.
Yeah, it's like they wake up at 5 a.m., and they were there, you know, like all perky and stuff when I woke up this morning. It was really annoying. So I'm just, like, completely crazy and, like, sleep-deprived.
That's okay. It's okay. Wait. Turn your head a little bit to the left. No. That's no. No, the
other left.
Is that a sunburn? Right. Yeah. Your right hand there.
Oh, probably.
Okay. Well,
that's what you get when you bike ride, Rick.
Thanks so much.
What? Outside in the fresh air.
Did you bike ride today?
I did not.
All right. So you are in no position to throw
stones. No, but that was
today.
Also because I was running late, and I could not.
We've all got our excuses.
I know.
You know, why didn't anything happen to you? Why doesn't anybody punish the retarded when you don't bicycle? Somebody should go.
Because I don't complain about it. I don't sit here and whine about it.
Every day that you don't bicycle, it's like that whole thing about when the bell rings and angel gets his wings. Every day that you don't bicycle, somebody should go kick the crutch out from underneath an old person. Somebody should go find an old person just gimping along downtown and just go kick out one
I'm
of their
I'm three for
one
four
of their
this
braces.
Week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Working on the following story is for your edification, ladies and gentlemen. It's Tim Riley.
Well, Bush's poodle Tony Blair announces his resignation.
Fantastic.
Republican moderates march to the White House to try to talk some sense into the belligerent president. The government probes Michael Moore.
Just a lot of wet squishing sounds and dirty elbows.
A man dies of cardiac arrest during a dance contest. And from Milwaukee comes word, a man was shot outside of Donnie's in the strip mall on McLaughlin Boulevard. Apparently somebody had a bad day with scratchers.
Fantastic. Do we have pull tabs here? Do they do pull tabs here in Oregon?
All right.
Because that's what always sparked all the violence in Kennewick. Some guy would go to the bowling alley and he'd sit in the adult section and blow the family rent on pull tabs. He'd get nothing, and then he would just find someone beaten savagely in an alley out back. You know what I mean? Hmm. A whole lot of paps and a whole lot of losing your money to the lottery.
All right.
But boy, where was I last night that I just saw the most? God, where was I? I saw the most I didn't go in, but I saw the most depressing bar. Sometimes you can just tell, can't you, when you drive? And I'm not trying to single anybody out in particular. It does seem like maybe we had to put together some calendar of the most depressing bars in Portland. That'll be KUFO has a calendar that's just a bunch of hot trashy girls, and then like King has one that's just, I don't know, pictures of cheese or something. We got to do one that's just, there's just nothing but depressing bars. Most depressing bar in Portland. Go.
I went to that place, I can't remember what it's called, like the back swing or the back door swing.
The back door swing.
I can't remember what it was. Remember I told you that it's the creepiest status bar I've ever been to.
No, where is it?
It was like deep in southeast Portland.
No, this isn't the place that used to be Dino's.
No, that place is terrible.
What's it called now?
It's the Hawthorne Strip.
Skanks.
Dude, it is no different than Dino's.
Let's go to Skeezers and have a beer.
All they invested in is a brand new sign. That's it. It's the same girls. It's so gross.
The same girls that were there in 1978.
Oh, yeah.
Genius. All right. No, I drove by some place. God, it's called the Clubhouse. Or the something or other, or whatever. And it's like, and they've always got the big sign up front, open at 7 a.m. for you early drinkers. And they always try to pass that off as though it's like, you know, you're somebody you're working the graveyard shift. It's not anybody working the graveyard shift. It's somebody who's working the morning drinking shift. That's what it is. Work in the morning, I am divorced and alone shift. That's the only shift that guy's working. All right. 503-733-2970. You know what I did last night, though? Two things. I had a fantastic dinner last night at one of our recent sponsors on the Rick Emerson Show, one of our new advertisers, the Pirates Tavern. Went there and I had it's like a fettuccine thing with like a jerk. It sounds dumb, but it's like a jerk tofu thing. And I know tofu is a funny word, but it really was great. So I go there, and on the way home, bam, picked up the double disc, that thing you do DVD, which is now, I haven't even opened it. I haven't even cracked the seal. This is how excited I was to pick up the that thing you do DVD. I pick it up, and I tried CD Game Exchange, but I had to learn at some point to quit mentioning things like this on the air before I have obtained my own copy. Because I don't want to that guy like calling me and go, this is Rick Emerson. I demand that you hold a copy for me because I'm me. I demand that you keep a copy that you sell to no one, that is held for me, underneath dimmed lights with candles flanking either side of it. I don't know. So instead, I just go by, and the guy at CD Gaming said, I don't know, we had a few, but there was a run on it for some reason. They're all gone. So I ended up having to go somewhere else. But I pick up the double disc, that thing you do, DVD. It is now sitting on top of my television, sealed. I haven't opened it. I haven't taken off not even the layer of plastic. It's still there, completely hermetically wrapped. Because my wife is gone this weekend. And so my weekend, and some guys, it's like their wife goes out of town, and suddenly the guy just cashes his checks into a whole pile of ones and just goes down and spends it stuffing it into G-strings and drinking champagne out of chorus girl slippers. Not me. I'm going to spend this weekend on the couch watching a Tom Hanks movie over and over again, both the theatrical and the director's releases, both the commentary tracks and the alternate endings, both the deleted scenes and the featurettes. I'm going to watch every theatrical trailer made for it. I'm going to watch every television commercial. I'm going to listen to every alternate audio track. That's my weekend right there. Right there. I didn't have to think about it. I don't have to plan. My weekend is already laid out. Anyway, so I did that last night. What are these people? All right, well, we'll get... Really? There's a place in Cornelius called Leo's Lair. It's Scotty is suggesting that that is, in fact, the most depressing bar in Portland. This is probably dangerous. We probably don't want to have this discussion.
Yeah, this early in the day. Come on.
It's not. No, it's not just that. It's that somebody's going to call up and go, you know, the most depressing scabrous bar in Portland is, and then it will be like, insert name of bar that advertises on the station.
Or one that, like, Tonya Harding hangs out at.
You know that. I don't care about that. You know that's, but you know that's going to happen. All right. We'll get this call in a second. I'm going to read a couple stories, and then we'll break. We got Steve Kastenbaum coming at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to read. I was going to put these off to the lunch hour, and it was going to be sort of a welcome to the lunch hour set of stories. But I'm just going to go ahead and plunge on with them now because we may not have time. This is from. I had several people send me both of these stories, and this is back-to-back. There's sort of a theme to these two, and then the others are just sort of generally unpleasant. Here's the first one. Man chops off own head with chainsaw. Right here. That's from Germany, which is sort of the Florida of Europe. A man cut off his own head with a chainsaw after stabbing his 70-year-old father to death in their apartment in the German city of Cologne, police said. The body of the offender, 24, was found headless when police raced to the apartment. An emergency call from one of the two men had apparently ended in mid-sentence. That's hard to imagine. Alf Willwatcher, a senior prosecutor, said they found an electric chainsaw right next to the son's body and his severed head. We do not believe any third party was involved, he said. Neighbors said the father and son had been reclusive in recent years. Since the death of the mother, also under exceedingly gruesome circumstances many years ago. Yeah, there you go. Here's the second one, by the way. This is from, I believe this one is from Louisiana. Wait, where is La Habra? Is that in Los Angeles, Tim? La Habra?
La Habra?
Is that L.A.?
Yeah, it's kind of east of there.
It says L.A., but I can never tell that's Los Angeles, Louisiana. Okay, from La Habra. Man, let's see, we've got here. La Habra police today said that a man decapitated a woman with a circular saw. When is it? Are saws sort of in vogue? Is there some sort of a chic aspect to saw death now? In any event. La Habra police said today that a man decapitated a woman with a circular saw and then used the saw to cut off his own head. Keep in mind, this is a separate story in a different city, in a different state, on a different continent. He died of severe injuries to the neck. That's the best. You can tell that there's some cub reporter really on the case here that they felt the need to clarify that. Oh, good God almighty. All right, there you go. That's right there. Two more. A Las Vegas mother is battling a local hospital over the ownership of a placenta. Ann Swanson gave birth at Sunrise Hospital last month, but wants her placenta back so she can ingest it for its nutrients. Which sounds like something that either Kodos or Kang would be saying. Swanson, how great that her name is Swanson. Sort of a Swanson hungry baby dinner. Swanson says the hospital told her the organ was... The hospital says the organ has been contaminated. I want that placenta back. I've been... Honey, I've just been craving contaminated placenta all day. What do you say we go out? Come on. Get the van. Yesterday, Swanson and a group of other women protested outside... This is why no other country takes us seriously. Yesterday, Swanson and a group of other women protested outside the Maryland Parkway Hospital with signs reading, Free the Placenta. Swanson says she wants to eat the placenta despite its apparent contamination. And finally, this is for Tim Riley. A Janesville real estate agent can't believe she didn't realize that a form on the bed at a house she showed Monday night was a woman who had been dead for 2 weeks. Quote, I've smelled death. I know what death smells like, she said. I can't believe my sinuses were that bad. Imagine you're trying to, you've got them within closing range. They're about ready to put down earnest money. They're about ready to buy a house from you. Linda Gallo, a realtor with Shorewest, was showing the Eastside house to Justin and Colleen McKean. Could the two of them be any more white, do you suppose? Justin and Colleen McKean. Like Casey and Pixley. Gallo stood in the dining room while the couple walked through the house. She heard Colleen scream as the couple stood at the doorway of the front bedroom. I thought, what's wrong? Maybe they found a dead mouse or something. The survey points to or something. When Gayla looked into the bedroom, she saw what looked like a dummy on the bed. She said his right, the dummy, in quotes, legs were wrapped in material that appeared similar to
cheesecloth.
Oh.
It was then she realized the body was simply in advanced stages of decomposition. Oh. Good day. Okay, we'll do this call, then we'll break. Jerry, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello, Rick. Best Hi. Show ever.
Thank you. Is it the cheesecloth reference? Is that really what did it for you? It was only a decent show until we found out that it wasn't cheesecloth, just that the body was rotting away.
I think that's when you go from mold to what is called rope. Yeah, that would be it.
All right.
Best show ever.
Thank you.
Anyway, I was kind of referring to a couple of things, the chainsaw cuttings and all that. At least probably there's some places weirder than Clackamas.
It's true. That's
I live there. I know.
They've raised the bar.
And also, kudos on cycling, you know, and taking pledges for every day you ride, because now I can feed your angst and help the retards. This is cool. Now, how about if I sponsor Scotty J's forehead, and it will say, I am now worth sex spot. What do you think? Damn.
Got to go, Meg.
I think he just hung up.
Yeah,
there you go. All right, thanks, sir. Scott, you just type in the screen. Jokes didn't work. Yeah, you think? Apparently, by the way, somebody has noted the backswing is the bar Sarah's talking about. It's on 60th and Prescott in Northeast. All right.
Yeah, that is very depressing.
I note, in my opinion, it is, clinically speaking, a hole. Okay, fantastic. It's 503-733-2970. Take a break. Come back after this with Steve Kastenbaum. Later on, Bob Noodles Costantini, Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth, and more of your phone calls. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there. Rick Emerson Radio Program. Rick, will the retarded be banded together to help cure your skin cancer after you bicycle every day for a year? No, sir. No, they will not. Thanks for the thought, though. I appreciate that. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email us, you can do that as well. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Coming up later on, we have Bob Noodles Castantini from the Hill. Did I say Castantini? I'm merging the two names now. Kastenbaum, Constantine. Well, you know what I'm talking about. At noon, it's Tim Riley. Later on, more of your phone calls. Our hunt for the second worst story in the history of the world. And a big pile of things that we shouldn't read during the lunch hour, but which we will. 503-733. This one includes the phrase. And this, I won't read this now. I'll wait about 35 minutes on this one. This contains the phrase. What do you think, Sarah, let me ask you this. What kind of context do you think that this sentence would go? What kind of story do you think would possibly contain this phrase? Just going to read this one sentence. Then we'll welcome Steve Kastenbaum. Quote, I decided to regurgitate everything back into the box. End quote. You just think on that. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the city that never sleeps. CNN radio correspondent and man about town, Steve Kastenbaum. Hello, sir.
Wow, thank you. Hi.
What's up, brother? How you doing? How's life in New York?
Life is good today.
Excellent. All right. Well, it's a good day for me because we get to ridicule Al Sharpton again. I was doing this yesterday, but nobody knew what I was talking. I was ahead of the game on this.
You were.
We had Lisa Goddard on yesterday talking about the racket and a bunch of other things. And I ended the call by saying, have you heard about Al Sharpton? And Lisa, you know, she's normally very cutting edge, but I understand she was very overworked. She had a lot of things to do. Yes, a lot of plates in the air, a lot of items in front of her. A lot of irons in the fire, as they say. And I said, well, let me play you this Al Sharpton clip. So I played this Al Sharpton clip, which is from, where did he say this? Did he say this during some sort of radio debate? Where was he when he said this?
This was a debate at the New York Public Library on religion in politics, and he was debating opposite an atheist author.
And was it Christopher Hitchens?
Yes.
All right, Christopher Hitchens, who is a dead man. You want to talk about a guy, just a mind like a drawer full of sharp, you know, steel knives. Let me play the cut. Here is Al Sharpton referring to Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, who is a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and who is also running for president. Here's Al Sharpton, beacon of tolerance, guidepost for us all when it comes to embracing the differences of others. Here is Al Sharpton talking about Mormon presidential candidate Mitt Romney.
And as for the one Mormon running for office, those that really believe in God will defeat him anyway. So don't worry about that. That's a temporary situation.
So I would just like to say first and foremost that, as always, I thank Al Sharpton for being someone who we can look to for guidance, someone who can show us the way through the tangled undergrowth and thicket of various religious differences in this country of ours so that we know what is appropriate and what is not.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because remember just a few days ago you were saying you thought his candle had dimmed and that we'd had enough of him. He found another way to get back into our radar.
Really, he really is. It's just like some sort of impervious mold that is constantly coming through the cracks in the bricks, no matter how well you spackle everything up. So I don't know why. Well, let me rephrase this. From a political point of view, I don't know why he would open his mouth and say something so plainly stupid. Whether he believes it or not, you'd think it's like logic would kick in, he would not say something like that.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, but it looks like Mitt Romney's going to try to just hang that around his neck and drown him with it.
Yeah, he called it blatant bigotry and that it was an unfortunate comment. But Al Sharpton's logic behind this, he's saying we're taking it out of context. They were talking at the time about the role religion was playing in politics and what people of faith, how they vote, that sort of thing. And, you know, he's made no secret of the fact that he doesn't like any of the Republican candidates. So what he was saying was that people who are true Christians, at least the type of Christian he is, would never vote for Romney because he's a Mormon, and Mormons up until the early 70s would not allow African Americans to become priests.
1978,
right. So actually, we had Sharpton on CNN today, and he tried to explain his way out of this and did not offer an apology, and I can give you a little sample.
Absolutely, yeah.
If prior to 65, 78, whenever it was, they did not see blacks as equal, I do not believe that as real worshipers of God, because I do not believe God distinguishes between people.
So he wants to know where Mitt Romney stood back in the early 70s, while all this was going on.
And so did we have any response from Mitt Romney about that?
Not to this latest barrage. The earlier response was to the actual comment itself, and Mitt Romney said...
And as for the one...
No, that's not Mitt. Hold on a second. I do have him somewhere. Well...
That shows that bigotry still exists in some corners, and I thought it was the most unfortunate comment to make.
Do you share my assessment, Steve Kastenbaum, that Mitt Romney has a sort of steely, dead-eyed gaze that one could imagine on the face of a serial killer as he chokes the life out of your body?
I don't know about that, but his hair is always perfect.
He's a Stepford candidate. He's really freaky.
He never has a single blade of hair out of place.
No, he is, and I will say this because I lived in Salt Lake City for a few years, and I got to tell you, that you have never seen a people that looked more robotic. I mean, just, you have never, in terms of, they all look like they came out of some mold somewhere that just manufactures perfectly coiffed white people. And you walk through the campus of BYU, there could be hurricane force winds. There could be an F5 tornado touching down every 30 or 40 feet, and man, I gotta tell you, they're gonna have that, like, it's like that perfect little Fisher Price, like Lego man hair. Perfectly shaped, perfectly formed. No one ever looks mussed. I mean, your average Mormon could really be caught in a mudstorm, and they would still just have like a sparkling white teeth, and they would look like they're just kind of a Breck advertisement. You know what I mean?
Yeah, most of our experience with Mormons here in New York, at least, you know, the public experience with it is, you see the young men who come here on their year of doing missionary work,
yes,
trying to, you know, and they have the name tag on those half-sleeve dress shirts.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Now, here's the other thing. The only thing, I have to tell you this. Have we talked about this? Have you been to Salt Lake City?
Briefly, I used to have relatives that lived not too far from Salt Lake. They were working in for Morton Thiokol, which was by there, yeah. And then I've been to Park City, Utah.
Yeah, Park City is sort of a world apart, though. Park City is not like Utah. Comparing Park City to Salt Lake City is in a way, I mean, it's sort of like comparing Beverly Hills to Oakland. It's just not, they're two entirely different worlds.
Yeah.
You go to Salt Lake City, I encourage you to take a tour of Temple Square, because those missionaries you talk about, you go to Temple Square, and they do seem to disproportionately staff Temple Square with young, really hot, single Mormon girls, who are all just stunningly attractive.
Really? Blonde hair, blue eye?
Blonde hair, blue eye, and they're all, a lot of them seem to be, I would say in my experience, like two-thirds of them for some reason seem to be from France. France and all, what is the word? They're coquettish. That's the word I would use for that.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just telling you, just one man to another. You get a chance to tour Salt Lake City. Hit Temple Square. Look for, never mind. I was gonna tell you to
look. What are you stopping yourself?
No, I don't want to sound like a stalker. I was just gonna say, look for Sister Tabaret. That's with an X. She was working the front gate the last time I was at Temple Square. It was about 6 months ago. But I realized that would make me sound officially creepy. So.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that. All right, well, there you go. So Al Sharpton, by the way, it does identify him on the CNN prep sheet as being, quote, civil rights activist Al Sharpton. Is that like a nickname? Is that a thing that he just gave himself? I mean, was there a vote somewhere to decide that that's actually what he does?
I don't know where that comes from, to be honest, and I've been covering Al Sharpton for years here in New York. I mean, yes, he does. He does fight for people's civil rights, but he does a lot of things. He's tried his hand at politics. He's been the mouthpiece for many different people who are victimized by police in one way or another. So, it's just something that has stuck with him for a long time. He's got the connection to Reverend Jesse Jackson, and, you know, he was always known for wearing the Martin Luther King medal around his neck that Dr. King gave to him decades ago. So I guess that's where that comes from.
Do you get the feeling he wears it all the time, like even when he showers?
I don't know. I'll ask him that.
They're giving him full physical at the hospital. He's like, do you mind if I continue to wear my Martin Luther King medallion?
He's changed his look over the decades, though. He used to have that look where he wore, you know, the Cuban half-sleeve shirt a lot.
Yeah.
And now he's into wearing nice suits and expensive ties. When he used to conduct those marches in the 80s, he always had on, what's it called again, a guavera or something like that, I think.
Isn't that a fruit?
Yeah, guava.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So,
I don't love him.
Yeah.
You ought to suggest that he change his title to professional irritant.
I'll tell him that the next time he stops by.
All right. Steve Kastenbaum, enjoy your New York City day, my friend. We will talk to you soon.
Looking forward to it.
There you go. Steve Kastenbaum, ladies and gentlemen, live in New York City. I don't know where that dial tone thing. I'm not touching the phone. But that happened with him yesterday. I think it's on his end, actually. Specifically.
I bet it is when somebody's calling in at the same time, maybe.
But, you know, but that has never happened before. I don't want to suggest that Quest might just be randomly screwing us again. Do you get the feeling that there's some guy who works at Quest who just sits there every day and just to sort of amuse himself or perhaps to create ongoing work for him and his colleagues just randomly unplugs things or just turns stuff off or just breaks stuff in half or sets fire to certain sections of the control panels there? I mean, I'm just speculating. I don't really know that that's the case. We got a question about the bicycle challenge. We'll get that here in just a second. Ladies and gentlemen, before we do that, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. CNN radio correspondent and political ideologue, Bob Costantini.
Rick, I'm not an ideologue.
No, I was going to say firebrand, and then I was going to say firecracker, and then I said ideologue, but I realized as I was saying it was the incorrect word to use, but the other thing, I had also thought about saying this, I'd also thought about saying you were an ideological scythe, you know what I mean, just sort of cutting down and winnowing through the spin to get to the fact, but ideologue was already out of my mouth, and I was hoping that it would go unnoticed.
Idiot. It's just a few letters away from idiot, which I won't.
Now, Bob.
Bob,
we've got to deal with it. You've got to have a better image of yourself, my friend.
I'm doing fine. I appreciate it.
All right. I'm just saying.
CNN doesn't want me to be an ideologue.
Okay. Well, I officially retract the statement, Bob.
They're very emphatic about that.
That's all right. You know what? I mean, if you're ever feeling bad about yourself, I mean, it could be worse. You could be, I don't know, at this point, like Nancy Pelosi or Harry Reid or somebody who just... I got to tell you, I made this observation to Lisa Goddard, I think, a few months ago, that really the Republicans ought to start calling the Democrats a non-binding Congress, because there's just a whole lot of... There's a whole lot of nothing going on there because, you know, they got the Iraq spending bill that Bush just told them to get stuffed. And so they're going to bring back another one, and Bush is going to tell... Didn't Bush already flatly say, you just keep bringing them, and I'm going to keep telling you to get bent, and he's going to veto all of them?
Well, the president is giving a little bit in that he said today at the Pentagon that he is open to the idea of benchmarks on the Iraqi government. But he is very much opposed to the idea of any kind of, you know, tying funding for the Iraq war to any benchmark. So I'm not sure, you know, how much he's given. I guess time will tell. But he reiterated again today that he would veto a bill that has, and what they're working on in the House, at least tonight. The vote should come late tonight. Would fund the troops through July. Would fund the war through July.
Let me ask you this. Do you suppose that there's somebody, and by somebody I mean Dick Cheney, or perhaps Karl Rove, but probably Dick Cheney, do you suppose there's somebody whispering in George Bush's ear that these actions make him look Truman-esque? Because that's the only... He seems to, and this is simply my opinion, and again, because you, of course, are not an ideologue in any way, I don't expect you to support my proposition one way or the other, but I'm saying, objectively speaking... It does seem like George Bush has confused sort of resolve with just sort of pig-headed stubbornness, and I wonder, from your vantage point, do you believe that, politically speaking, his advisors think that this makes him look sort of stout-hearted and resolute in the face of defiance? I mean, do you think that that's the upside that they're seeing here, is that people cling to this, well, at least he stands behind what he believes business?
Well, the interesting thing is, and I'm not sure what his advisors may think of all this, because, you know, we've seen as the polling continues that the war is less and less popular throughout the United States. And, you know, what his advisors are saying may be one thing, but he is sticking to his guns. And he had, you know, it's been reported now that they had a meeting with 11 House Republicans who are moderates, who, you know, come from a variety of districts where, you know, their political futures may be up in the air because of the makeup of the district. They went to the White House on Tuesday and bluntly told the president that the war is not very popular in their districts and could very well cost them their jobs and in other words, you know, Republican seats in 2008. So, I mean, they tried to make that case, and he listened supposedly respectfully. It was the word that's being used a lot is unvarnished truth, went back and forth. And the president even acknowledged today that he had that meeting, and so did White House Press Secretary Tony Snow. But in the end, I mean, you know, the president said he listened and, you know, he took it all in. You know, as Tony Snow said at the briefing today, he does get it, but whether or not there will be any change in the president's attitude about all this is hard to say.
He
remains very resolute.
He can't be oblivious to the fact that, like, for instance, the GOP debate happened, I don't know, about 10 days ago, 12 days ago,
yes,
and they mentioned Reagan 17 times and they used the word Bush exactly once. I mean, he's got to know that stuff, right? He's got to know that he's not the most popular chick at the dance anymore.
Well, he jokes about it. At the White House Correspondents' Dinner, he made a joke recently about how, you know, a year ago his popularity was at 30%, and Dick Cheney just shot a guy, and he was yearning for the good old days. So it clearly is that he understands it, and no doubt his advisors do understand it, but it's just that the president is very... you know, it is being resolute about this idea. He does not want to piecemeal fund the troops in Iraq, but he does seem to be starting to understand that, you know, with Democrats in control of Congress, that, you know, more pressure has to be put on the Iraqi government. And, you know, we're hearing again that the Iraqi parliament may not take that 2-month recess that they were talking about because of how it's been played here in the United States. Those kinds of things. You know, some things are getting through, but as far as the president remains resolute about not, you know, not retreating, as he would put it, or as a lot of the Republicans are putting it, from Iraq.
All right, my friend Bob Costantini, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
Pleasure.
We will speak to you soon. Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Costantini from CNN. Sorry, Scotty, I don't have the firecrackers handy. I meant to have those. I failed you, Scotty. You'll know, by the way, that I exercise the good decorum and tact to not ask him about the story coming out that Dick Cheney is in that DC Madam's phone book. You'll know, which is always on every political blog. And this is not like just some nitwit in a basement. This is wonkette.com, which is, you know, probably next to the... Is that website the Daily Kos or the Daily Kos? How do you pronounce that?
Kos?
It's K-O-S? Well, whatever. There's a lot of words, like stuff that you see on paper, and then you say it out loud, and you realize you have no idea how it's pronounced. Like peonies or peonies, whatever that stupid flower is I was talking about. There's that website, wonkette.com, though, and they've reported now several times that apparently it is, and this is, again, I'm simply reporting what it was on this political blog, that D.C. madam, who I guess they busted, and they're trying to... whatever, she's trying to weasel her way out of it by revealing the guys who come in and, like, paid her for a little whatnot. They were reporting today that Dick Cheney is apparently one of the guys in there. And you'd think he would be smarter than to be giving money to a call girl. But, you know, whatever. I'm not saying it's the case. I'm just saying it's what the blog reported. But I have to say this, and I hate to put this image in your head again if you recently, you know, expunged it finally. If you spent many, many months trying to get this picture out of your brain. But these stories about Dick Cheney supposedly going to this call girl are always accompanied by that photograph where you can see his massive manhood.
Oh, I forgot about
just
that.
There you go. Bam, now it's back. It's that weird yellowed photograph of him where he's like sitting on a log, so to speak. He's sitting on a chair or a bench or something, and he's talking to a reporter, and he's got those tan pants on, and it's just a... That's a whole lot of Dick Cheney.
He's probably one of those leather guys.
Like Vito Spadafore. He's in a club with a little cap and a vest and one nipple ring. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, you're right. That really does with... Thank you, Scotty. All right, it's 503-73-BIT. That's, you know, really, I mean, if I ran a political blog, that's really the kind of the poll we would have in the front is, if Dick Cheney were one of the village people, which village person would he be? I'd like to see him dressed up as the Indian. The Indian whose name was, anyone? Felipe Rose. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Only you would know that.
That is true. It's 503-73. I think the Indian is still one of the original members. I think if you go see the Village People now, who, the last time I checked, I think the Village People were actually performing at Disneyland. How times change in this country of ours. I think the three original Village People right now are the Indian, the leather guy, and I believe the construction worker, but I could be wrong about that. I'm not sure. Meanwhile, Victor Willis is... If you listen closely, you can hear him pushing a shopping cart with one bad wheel somewhere through Oakland. 503-733-2970. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. 503-733-2970. We resume around the corner. Stay there. Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. We've got this email, Rick. Oh, this is about Dick Cheney's member. I don't want to read this right now. Let's see. What do we have here? Tell Sarah I, too, have been dealing with a noisy upstairs neighbor. I finally wrote him a note telling him he might want to consider toning it down a bit. He's a good guy, but let's face it, he's a guy, a young guy with no job, nowhere to be in the morning. This is the best line. This is the money line. And he stays up till all hours of the night playing, believe it or not, These Dreams by heart over and over and over again.
That's awesome.
So great. You know, the last time I just heard that song after not hearing These Dreams by heart, like not intentionally anyway, for 5 or 6 years, it was playing at a Safeway that I went to the other night. God damn, that's a terrible song. And finally, Rick. Since your devoted listeners are spending their dollars on the bicycle challenge and booze, is there an employment termination clause for when you're fired due to us not spending money on your sponsors? That's the thing. I think out of superstition, sir, no one has built that into the Emerson Bicycle Challenge because it's just something no one wants to talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time once again. Will you please welcome your president, prophet, seer, and revelator?
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Breaking news out of Tacoma. Sanjaya gets a hero's welcome as he returns home from American Idol. Some 600 screaming fans greeted him as he was passing through Tacoma, not to stay, back to his hometown of Federal Way. He signed autographs while being protected by two personal guards and local cops. A sign read, "We love you, Sanjaya."
I've already got
spontaneous chants broke out.
Sure they did. I've already kind of forgotten who that guy is. That's the great thing. It's like the burn rate on him is so quick that by later today, I won't even remember the story. I won't remember how to pronounce his name.
That's the guy with all the hair.
Yeah. Where'd you get all that hair?
Well, as a matter of fact, they really have something cooked up for him in his hometown, the Federal Way. He's got to get a certificate of appreciation from the mayor.
Thank you for bringing
honor. Not the key to the city, since they don't have a dollar to get one made.
What would the key to the city of Federal Way even open?
It's also South King County Sanjaya Day.
Not all of King County.
Just South
King County. It's like in South Central Los Angeles, which I guess they don't call South Central anymore. Is that true?
They might have changed the name of it.
I heard that it is now considered inappropriate. They consider it impolite to call it South Central because apparently, for some reason, I guess there are negative connotations with that.
Right. A lot of the little suburbs, especially in the Valley, change their names. Because I lived in the good section of Van Nuys, which is renamed Valley Village.
Really?
Yeah.
Valley Village.
But I still get run over by a car.
Did it protect you from crime?
It did not.
No, it did not.
My bike was ruined.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess South Central Los Angeles is now just called South Los Angeles.
Well, that's good.
I guess they've dropped the central because apparently that's going to fix everything. You can tell it's a governmental solution. Put another coat of paint on it and change the name. So, there you go. You know, we got this Portland Anthem thing that we're working on. We've kind of neglected it this week because we've been talking about this bicycle challenge. We've got the first four lines done. We need another four. And I might actually take, I don't, probably not today, but maybe tomorrow, I might take a good solid 10, 12 minutes tomorrow and just read a bunch of the suggestions, many of which are hilarious, a lot of which were unusable, some of which are flat out terrible. There's a couple that are genius, but we're trying to find the next set of lines for the Portland Anthem, which we are now going to. And here's the thing, if we don't, it really is a sort of Damocles above your head with this thing, because if we don't find a new one, they're going to use that hideous piece of garbage that has the saxophone solo in the middle of it, and that's no way to advertise your city. Can you imagine some guy in Philadelphia hearing that and deciding that that is the sound of Portland? An undoubtedly bald white man with a ponytail and a Jimmy Buffett fan club membership wailing away on a saxophone and saying his licks are tasty. You don't want that. So, anyways, we're going to talk about the Portland Anthem, but here's the thing. If the Portland Anthem is great enough, and then we're going to go to Tom Potter and we are going to demand that he listen to it and crown it the official Portland Anthem, and I, in exchange, am going to demand that he give the Rick Emerson Show and its audience the key to the city. And I'm never really clear about what the key to the city even does. I mean, I know it's an honorary thing, blah, 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 blah. But does it, I mean, is there some sort of privilege that comes along with that as separate from, let's say, an honor of, what did Sanjaya
say? A certificate of honor.
A certificate of honor?
Not everyone in Federal Way qualifies for that.
Honor?
I barely knew her.
I don't even know if you can get, but I don't know if the key to the city gets you, like, can I park wherever I want with that?
I suppose so, but there's no place to park downtown. Everything's dug up.
No, they would just, can I just tell you this?
Yes.
Let me tell you this about that, Tim Riley. So the other day I was out driving the station vehicle, our brand new, the Montero.
Oh, I've seen that before, yes.
Yeah, it's got the AM 970 vehicle. You know the best thing about that? We should find any opportunity to drive that somewhere, because it's got a little media pass in the front. You can park anywhere you want, even where government vehicles are prohibited.
Oh, that is good.
It is. It's the greatest feel. I just wanted to go around and find blocked off meters and park there just because I could. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, I got a barrel full of crime stories. Let's begin in Vancouver.
Of course.
That man who reported that violent home invasion about those two ladies who offered to, well, do things for him for $100. Now he's been charged with hiring prostitutes. According to Vancouver police, the man said the two women forced their way into his home on West 34th.
on the morning of May 3rd. And he said he was held at gunpoint and robbed. Well, they arrested one broad, and they were looking for the second one. But now, they say, they're also charging the victim with prostitution, patronizing a prostitute, and false reporting. So apparently, allegedly, he paid for these ladies to come to the house. And I guess he decided he didn't want them after all and tried to send them on their way. And
these hookers are stale.
It was two for Tuesday in Vancouver.
Was it a menage a trois weekend?
Now, meanwhile, Portland police officers with expertise in explosives were called early this morning to a military recruiting station on Northeast Broadway after an officer spotted a suspicious item. New details are available. This occurred in the 1300 block of Northeast Broadway. Bomb experts were dispatched. Then out of Milwaukee today, somebody got shot in front of Dots.
Now, where is... Wait, that's not Dots.
Dots on 26th and Clinton?
This is the 15,000 block of McLaughlin Boulevard.
No.
It's a different mini mall. Clackamas. We're talking about Clackamas County here.
Is it called Dots or Dotties?
It's Dotties. I'm sorry.
Dotty?
It's next to a dry cleaner and a cell phone store.
Are you just guessing?
No, it's always that way, and it looks that way in the picture.
Oh, I was going to say, even if you were just guessing, you were just pulling those two things out of the air, the odds are like 90% that you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Dotties.
Apparently somebody bought some bad scratchers or something.
Is it a bar?
Dotties?
Yeah.
Dotties, where you buy cigarettes and lottery tickets and things like that. It's a little variety store type of thing.
A variety. Oh, and with does it have bars on it?
It doesn't. No, not this one. This is in the good section of Milwaukee, next to the country.
It's right by the Waverly Country Club. Yeah, so you can stop by. You can stop by and buy. Get yourself a nine iron and some pork rinds before you go to the club.
All right. So they're looking for an Asian man in his mid 20s to 30s. He was last seen driving a silver Mercedes with Oregon license plate. Write this down: XGN853. That's XGN853. He's a wanted man. And so Dottie's parking lot was blocked off for a while.
You don't want to be shot outside of Dottie's.
That's
embarrassing, really. Seriously, just sitting there lying in a pool of your own essence, just looking up, your life force oozing out of your body, and you see a sign above you that says, "Welcome to lovely Clackamas."
Get shot like a real man in St. John's.
Go to the St. John's where they take it in the face.
Oh, speaking of that, police are searching for thieves who try to take a bite out of a weekend event by a St. John's restaurant, the Big Kahuna, which is in the little downtown area of St. John's. Well, apparently, they put out two commercial-grade refrigerators and a metal top from a table, which was worth $10,000. They're going to have a big barbecue outside to be involved in the community. Well, somebody stole all this stuff.
Well done. I'd like to thank you, St. John's, for not letting me down, for continuing to live the stereotype in every single conceivable way. I would hate for something good to happen in St. John's, or for something to go correctly, for something not to end in crime, or perhaps a beating of some kind, because then it would just force me to rearrange my whole view of the world.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So the owner of the Big Kahuna says, you got druggies out there, and they're taking the stuff and trading it in for pennies on the freaking dollar. It kills me.
Yeah, that's not the only thing that kills you in St. John. Also, the people who took that, they'll kill you, too. Is it really called Big Kahuna?
Yeah, the Big Kahunas.
I wonder if that came after Pulp Fiction.
Mm. Yeah, it's one of the newer places there.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people who are buying places in St. John's and taking down the boarded up places and trying to turn them to viable businesses.
Who are those people, Tim Riley? Anybody we know? Anybody we know trying to take part of the St. John's revitalization?
Well, I moved. Well, I should say, I do in part because I do pay the property taxes on the rental I have there.
Yes. St. John's, city on the move. Scotty has clarified Dottie's. Dottie's apparently is, this sounds classy, is a sandwich shop with lotto machines. So, there you go. All right. Fantastic. Here's the Tim Riley.
Anybody see this video on the TV? Portland police arresting four students after a video of a bathroom brawl at Jefferson High was posted online. A 17-year-old and 16-year-old student faced third-degree assault charges, in addition to school discipline like that works there. The school district and police launched an independent investigation after somebody tipped them off to the violent video on YouTube. It appears to be gang-related. Over the past week, two clips have been posted, drawing thousands of viewers. The graphic video shows one student punching another. Seconds later, nearly a dozen other teens join in the bathroom brawl that police say was filmed on April 27th, after school. The victim doesn't even try to get away from the barrage of punches. He takes blow after blow to the body until finally falling to the ground. He eventually gets up. He appears to be unharmed.
Body blow!
So that's that.
Where was this at?
Jefferson High.
Now, I can never remember. Jefferson High is the one...
That's over by you. Well, close to
no,
you.
No, that's Cleveland.
Oh, you're right.
Where's is Jefferson the one in St. John's, or is that the one in Lake Oswego?
No, the one in St. John's is Roosevelt.
Okay, see, I can never get that straight.
And the good thing about Roosevelt is, like, three-quarters of the kids skip school, so there's never a problem over there.
And plenty of parking. I have to think of some mnemonic device for that. Roosevelt, St. John's. Roosevelt. To, I don't know. I'll think of something. All right. Well, there you go. So Jefferson is where?
It's in another bad area.
It's in some other place where the kids are hooligans. Some other place where the little bastards ought to be just locked up. I like the idea, though, that he's, whoever this poor student is, and we don't know his name, I don't think it really matters because his picture is apparently all over the internet. But the idea that his will has been so broken, just having to go to whatever this hideous crack house of a school is.
Yeah.
This is his will to live has been so sappy he doesn't even fight back when like 50 guys come into the bathroom and just line up. Like that scene in Airplane, they're just in a line, just waiting for their shot just to get a good nose punch in. And he's just sort of all right, come on. Just taking on. Taking on all, just like Annabelle Chong. Taking them one by one.
Never help people who were drowning. A 21-year-old man from Oregon who was in Maui to get married died when he attempted to help rescue others from a strong riptide and he himself was pulled under. Kwan Fo of Wilsonville was swimming with three friends at Polo Beach when the group began struggling. He apparently drowned as he tried to save others.
Right. I think Hawaii was bad.
Yeah, Hawaii's bad, and that's what you get. No, I'm not even going to say it. That's not a use. That was in Hawaii that somebody drowned?
It was, yes.
All right. Who knows what pop culture reference I was going to make, and then I just stopped myself.
I don't know.
All right, somebody will know. It's 503-733-2970. You won't win anything, but I'll be impressed if you know what pop culture reference I was about to make. And then I stopped myself because it's just been done. I've made the pop culture reference. I've moved on as a talk show host from making the pop culture reference I was about to. The moral is don't help people. I know a couple people, really, actually, now that I think about it, I know an astounding number of people who've been killed by cars. I mean, I'm only 34.
I don't know one.
Really?
Oh, yes, I do know one.
Is that true?
I do know one.
I think I know a disproportionate number of people, or new, who have been killed by automobiles in one fashion or another. And you know what? The first guy I ever knew who was killed by a car, he was helping somebody by the side of the road. So that, I mean, don't ever do, that's another thing you should never do. He was driving along the highway, some guy pulled, full on the shoulder of the road, dude, wasn't even in the middle of the road. So on the shoulder of the road, my friend Tom's like, hey, what's wrong? The guy says, I got a flat tire. Tom says, let me help you. Here comes a semi. Bam. Tom in the grill. Tom dead. So now,
call AAA if you have a problem.
Seriously, don't stop to help people. Just press the OnStar. We have OnStar in the AM970 vehicle, and it is so tempting to push the button just to see what happens.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I don't even know what it does. I'm not even sure what happens when you press the OnStar button.
You get billed every time you push that thing?
I have no idea. Well, I don't think I do because I think it's a CBS way, but I'm not even really sure how it, I don't even really know what happens when you press OnStar. And I don't know.
A little buzzer goes off in some third world country.
Hello, man, what is your automobile emergency? I'm on fire. But okay.
That is too bad.
There is no page in the booklet for that. Please go back. Press zero again. What was I going to say? Blah, 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 blah. Scotty says the Jefferson High is on 26th and Powell. So that is the one right by where I live. But I thought that was Cleveland High. Are they the same?
No, they're different schools.
Well, where is Cleveland High?
That might be nice to you, too.
They keep all the bad stuff over here. My neighborhood is the junk drawer of Portland. Just add that and put it in Southeast. It'll all work itself out. Sort of a self-cleaning oven. Okay, well, you tell me, Scotty. Okay, so if Jefferson is 26th and Powell, where is Cleveland?
Is this a riddle?
It's not. It's a limerick. Yes, I'm Gollum to your Bilbo. I have no hinges, key, or lid. I'm sorry, that was a nerdy reference, even for me. Even for me, that was freaking retarded. Let me get the... All right, this is funny. I tried to hit the button to turn on the phone just now, and I went to put my finger down, and I just completely missed the button. From a distance of 2 inches away, it's like Ted Stryker with his drinking problem. I just completely put my finger down somewhere else. Hi, Rick Emerson Show, hello. And I waited 10 seconds too long, now he's gone. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, what's up?
Hi.
Jefferson is on like MLK or over in that area, and Cleveland is on 26th and South.
Yeah, see, why don't you shut it, Scotty?
I went to Marshall. I'm privy to the knowledge of PIL schools.
All right. So Cleveland is on MLK. Jefferson. Oh, I'm sorry. Jefferson is on MLK. Cleveland is on 22nd.
That is correct, sir.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, my friend.
But,
all right. There you go. Yeah, tell that listener to get bent, Scotty. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey. Yeah, he's right. Cleveland's on 26th and Powell.
All right, okay.
And so, Jefferson's in North Portland.
So the violence hasn't quite spread to where I live yet.
It's working its way there.
Yeah, no, it really is like a fungus. Thank you.
You bet.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley.
All right, let's see what's going on in the world and national scene, shall we? Well, Bush's poodle, Tony Blair, has announced, yes, he will finally resign.
Today I announce my decision to stand down from the leadership of the Labour Party. The party will now select a new leader. On the 27th of June, I will tender my resignation from the office of Prime Minister to the Queen.
Haven't we had this story a few different times? Hasn't he quit a whole bunch of times already?
Yes. But we keep bringing it back.
And then this just in. There are a lot of cameras in Britain, too.
There's one for every 14 people.
No!
Yes.
Stunned!
Now, Blair says he's had a good run as Prime Minister.
I've been Prime Minister of this country for just over 10 years.
I'm so very tired.
In this job in the world of today, I think that's long enough for me, but more especially for the country. And sometimes the only way you conquer the pull of power is to set it down.
Boy, just how badly does he wish he had just never agreed with George Bush on anything? That was just the end of that guy's career right there. That's a whole lot of Felicity. That's a whole lot of Felicity cutting her hair right there. That's just the worst. He just, more than anything, you wish you could go back and just tell George Bush just to stuff it.
Yeah. Blair says his government has accomplished a lot over the past 10 years.
There is only one government since 1945 that can say all of the following: more jobs, fewer unemployed, better health and education results, lower crime, and economic growth in every quarter.
Everybody says that.
Totally.
And any politician says that when they have nothing else to talk about.
It's never true.
And they can just make up the numbers. Nobody's really sure
who can
do or not.
Yeah, who can check any of these things? No one. No one. Scotty, who are these people? It's completely... Really? Is that really what she's calling about? Okay. How about this other person? What is this? Let me just say this, and then we'll get back to the news. As much as I poke fun at Scotty for not screening, it's not that he doesn't screen. Well, he doesn't screen. He doesn't screen, but he does find out what people are calling about. Now, I don't think ever turns anybody away. I mean, really, you could just be calling about a strange odor coming from one of your feet, and Scotty would just, I got to put you on right away. It doesn't matter whether it's irrelevant, topical, tedious, pointless, useless, whatever. Yeah, washers and dryers. Yeah, he would, but he will make sure that I know the content of the call. He just won't ever screen anybody out. You want to see some of the things that come up on the screen that we don't have time to get to, like this woman here. All right, we'll get to her in a few. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Vice President Cheney made an uninvited visit to Iraq to meet with U.S. and Iraqi leaders. Cheney also addressed a group of troops in Iraq today, thanking them for their service and their recent deployment extension.
Many of you have had your deployments extended, and that puts an unexpected hardship on you and your families. I want you to know the extension is vital to the mission. The Army and the country appreciate the extra burden that you carry.
There's some joke there about Dick Cheney's extension being an extra burden to him, too.
Mm-hmm. He says even though the people of Iraq have faced danger and violence, they remain determined to establish freedom. Them or us, we're all not
sure. While the forces of violence inflict harm and grief on the Iraqi people, the citizens of this country have shown courage and fortitude and their own desire for freedom and self-government.
Yeah, right. And now we lost her. I swear to God, a woman was calling about Gabe Kaplan. That is really the definition of random. You don't have to get Gabe Kaplan news, do you?
I don't. There hasn't been Gabe Kaplan news in about 15 years.
This just in. No one cares about Gabe Kaplan.
He was doing some sports talk show in L.A. for a while.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Apparently it's about... I'm looking at the screen here. This is so sad. Gabe Kaplan, no one even knew that he was alive until just now. I still don't know. Maybe the news is that he's dead. I swear to God, this is what she was calling about. Scotty said that we've lost the call, but I will summarize it for you.
That's too bad. He's an American treasure.
Yeah. I found Gabe... Now, listen. I thought Gabe Kaplan was funny. Gabe Kaplan was really, he's not an American treasure now, but that's because he's like 100. And there was, for that one, wasn't he only ever on for like one season? Didn't Marsha Crossman, didn't she push him off the show because she was stooping the producer?
It might have been, yes.
I'm pretty sure that's the case. Yeah, him and that mustache.
Well, he was kind of like the Ron Burgundy of teaching.
Oh, God, he was
during
just,
his period of time.
Boy, and you talk about a guy who just, he looked like he was wearing, I mean, he just had like the full-on, like the white man's fro,
mm-hmm.
and then just, and like the big, huge mustache. I mean, just a bit like all the 70s characteristics right there. But apparently...
It was a facial hair decade.
It really was. It's a decade of scrub. Apparently, there's going to be an exciting new Sweat Hogs film. That's fantastic. You know he's like filming that himself around the neighborhood with a Super 8 camera.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get people to remember who he is. When was he at talk shows? When was he doing radio in L.A.?
Oh, it was at least 10 years ago.
Oh, so not like now.
No. The station's got through like a dozen format changes.
Okay.
That's when you try everything and you call Gabe Kaplan.
I want to write a book. I want to write some sort of a corporate crisis book. And it's going to be called Get Me Gabe Kaplan. It's when everything you know is wrong. When everything else has failed. When the fabulous sports babe is dead. Get Me Gabe Kaplan. No one has ever said, Get Me Gabe Kaplan, except right before they fired him from Welcome Back, Kotter. Get Me Gabe Kaplan. Hello, this is Gabe Kaplan. You're fired.
Looks like
they
got on Family Ties, that Skippy guy.
Yeah, Mark Price.
They were trying to get him to do radio for a while.
Get me Mark Price. Really? Who was?
Well, the ad in R&R said, some dates not available. And you know all dates are available.
It's true. Hey, somebody here saw the fight at Jefferson. Fantastic.
On TV?
No, in person, I think.
Oh, all right.
It says, let's see, hold on. Get me Gabe Kaplan. Hey, Scotty, get me Gabe Kaplan. I'm going to say that and see if it happens.
Yep.
This is Foster.
I barely knew her.
Foster, what's up?
This is not Gabe Kaplan, but I just see the tail end of it. I'm one of the maintenance guys over at Jeff.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know the guy what to say. It was on 26th and Powell, but that's Cleveland.
So you work in the maintenance department at Jefferson High, which is out on MLK.
Yeah, just the end of it. From what I was told, seeing the end of it, it wasn't necessarily... them attacking a guy, he was another gang, was more of an initiation into that gang.
Oh, he was being jumped in, as they say.
Yeah, sometimes these kids go nuts, I guess, and that's why he wasn't putting up much of a fight.
That is the word,
I haven't seen the video, but, you know, he's like, he takes the beat down, you're in.
That is, well, and I think that is a thing that, I mean, not like I'm some big gang expert, but I think that is kind of a thing that they do. It's like everybody gets a chance to kind of pummel on you, and then you make it, because the Hells Angels, you were notorious for doing this ending. They would all, as Hunter Thompson would say, they would stomp you, and then if you made it through the stomping, you were in. That was your...
Yeah, I read that book. They'd also do other things to you, but it's pretty stupid, frankly, let somebody beat the audience for no reason, but, you know, whatever, these kids don't seem to care. They're probably high.
spoken like a true member and worker in the educational community.
You probably would believe what goes on there. The things we see,
probably
a lot of it just says unsaid because the administration, they don't care.
No, it's, well, and I, let me, let's be honest, I don't care. Tim,
if you
care?
Did a random locker check over there, you could probably, we wouldn't need to fund the troops. Just send everything to Jeff
right. Straight
over to Iraq.
It's Portland's answer to Gitmo.
It's a pre-prison. That's fantastic. We're going to start calling that now Jefferson High School. It's the Gitmo of lovely Portland, Oregon.
I have a little background on Gabe Kaplan.
Really?
Lately, he has been the host commentator on high-stakes poker on GSN. He once had aspirations to be a Major League Baseball player.
Gabe Kaplan?
Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He appeared 5 times on The Tonight Show between 1973 and 1974. And let's see here. Oh, the series, Welcome Back, Carter, ran 4 years, 1975 to 1979.
But he was only on it for like 1 or 2 years.
He continued with his stand-up act in several movies and portrayed Groucho Marx in an acclaimed one-man show.
Well, here the thing is, I mean, let's be honest. That guy, Gabe Kaplan, he looked like he had a pair of Groucho Marx glasses just implanted on his face.
He's earned $970,000 playing poker.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Let's see. He is a poker player. Saw him in the World Series or one of those shows not too long ago, somebody says. Rick, he has a poker show that's on at 2 a.m. after Carson Daly. You're probably asleep, but it's on. Okay, well, who knew? Oh, wait, hold on. Here's somebody else. It is Scotty. And Scotty here says that really? Are you a big Gabe Kaplan fan? You celebrate his entire catalog? Okay, yeah, all right. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick, I got two things. Gabe Kaplan news. He is on the Game Show Network on High Stakes Poker.
Okay.
And then he won a World Series of Poker event. Came in second about 3 weeks ago and won $450,000.
On the World Series of Poker?
On TV, yeah. He came in second.
Gabe Kaplan?
Gabe Kaplan. And he looks awful. He looks absolutely awful.
Well,
nobody ever saw him without hair.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
All he has to do is shave a little bit, then all the words start showing.
Yeah, he is the hairiest guy I ever saw. But he still he's also the world's worst announcer because he's very slow and halting and not very interesting. But still,
He's not very interesting when he's not telling some joke to begin with. So my uncle Sal. Yeah, it's my uncle Melvin.
He was an ice cold poker player though on that tournament. Man, he was steel. He was really good.
Gabe Kaplan. Okay. Well,
and I got something else for you too. Scotty wanted me to talk to you about.
Oh, great.
An advertising campaign for your bicycle campaign.
Uh huh.
We need to get you on one of our TriMet buses.
Yes.
With your bicycle helmet on, sitting with the needy. Having you sit there
I don't understand. I would be on the bus with my bike?
No, you'd be on the bus with your bicycle helmet, sitting amongst the people you are raising money for.
Sitting amongst the some of God's special children.
And you can have this forlorn look. Or, I even have a better idea. You know those mirror pictures where your head is leaning against the a mirror or a window, and there's a reflection coming back?
Right.
Yeah, you could be leaning your head on the window, and the reflection could be one of God's most neediest mirroring back to you, so you could show your caring, compassionate
self. Oh, like a reflection of, like, Corky Thatcher?
Yeah.
So I'm looking in the mirror, but a retarded person is looking back.
Well, no, you'd be laying your head on a window like you're thinking and contemplating life, and the mirror would be the retarded person with his head on the mirror, and that's what you're thinking about.
Raise your hand if you understand anything about this call.
It's better than nothing, I suppose.
It's like you see.
No, haven't you seen those? It's a contemplative picture. It's kind of like what your inner soul is thinking about.
My inner soul is retarded?
No, you're thinking about the retarded because you care so much. And that's what you're thinking about at the time.
I think that's brilliant.
We'll take another run at this later. Thanks, sir.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Here's Tim Riley. Let's do one more, and then we'll break. All right. I've been more exciting Gabe Kaplan stories after the break.
So there are all kinds of conflicting stories coming out of Washington today. One says the president is ready to compromise. Another says he will not compromise. And then it said the Republicans marched over there Watergate style and pretty much told him he's crazy. And then we have Tony Snow acknowledging growing impatience over Iraq, but argues the White House is impatient, too. Snow says this week nearly a dozen moderate Republican congressmen, that was today, held a private meeting with President Bush and expressed growing concerns about it.
I don't think impatience is new. It's perfectly understandable. And the expressed desire for results is something that everybody shares.
So, Snow said the Republicans who met with Bush show that Iraq must show results.
What they're expressing is impatience. And as the president pointed out today, yeah, he's impatient, too. And he's made this point on a number of occasions. You know, if you ask him the poll question, are you satisfied with what's going on in Iraq? The answer is no. So he certainly understands the impatience.
Yes, he says, get this. The president does take the time to listen to others.
He also wants to hear what their specific concerns are, what ideas they may have.
Yeah, it's a lie.
Often what will happen is that they'll also have more practical conversations about what's going on politically at the time. But the point is, I'm not sure that there's a necessary disconnect because what they want to see are results, and the president wants to see results.
Does it sound to you like Tony Snow's voice is always a little gone?
Maybe it's been the Lycus's house.
He's been inhaling black mold. His voice, it always sounds like his lower register is gone. And it's always like he's talking like this in the roof of his mouth. It's like he's got a little Corleone thing going on there. Rick, Gabe Kaplan has a permanent poker face. You know, like it was hit with a fireplace poker over and over again. And it's not a very nice thing to say.
No, it isn't.
No, it's It is, though, as Tim noted, better than nothing. It's 503-733-2970. Just going to read his final email, then we'll break. Rick, about OnStar. God help you if you need to press the OnStar button, says this email. They have to connect you with someone in the U.S. so they can call emergency services or tow trucks. People just have to have cell phones. You might as well set your car on fire as a beacon, which will probably get you a better, quicker, and more quality response to your distress. This is the observation of this emailer, by the way, not of Rick Emerson or CBS. He says, I used to be a customer service rep who fielded these calls. OnStar connects you to a cubicle jockey in either Oklahoma, Florida, or Hillsboro. Imagine the type of help you receive from the denizens of these cities, Rick. It was part of being a phone support person, so just after an old man from North Carolina would call and use you as a verbal punching bag, complaining about his Cadillac being a lemon, some person would call and bitch about their check engine light, expecting me to magically fix it. The worst thing is that the call...
They do that on commercials, though.
Really?
They magically fix everything.
look, I've got this tingling sensation all up and down my left leg, and I've got a rash in my hand.
No, and I'm connecting you with,
you know, and you're right, no matter what it is you're complaining about.
And somebody, you know, just pushes a red fix button and everything's fine by the end of the commercial.
My girlfriend is sleeping with my brother. Well, okay, sir, well, thank you for whatever you're calling OnStar, we'll fix it. He says also you can't hear anything the customer says since the OnStar uses the speakers in the car to transmit through.
Oh,
it's pointless.
Yeah.
Genius. I'm going to press that button the next time I'm in the station vehicle. And then I should scream something really unimportant.
Ooh, I'll go with you. I want to see what happens.
Yeah. All right. Well, I got to find something. I got to find something random to say to the OnStar person. Some crisis that they've never had to deal with before.
Oh, what are you wearing? I'm sure somebody's done that.
Just keep talking a little longer. All right. We should break here. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email. It's rick@rickemerson.com. We continue with the AM 970 Noon News Hour with Tim Riley around the corner. You stay there. For those who are playing the home game, this is my favorite bump. Of all the musical beds we play, I think this is my favorite. I don't know. Maybe. At this moment of this. Rick, about getting the key to the city of Federal Way. Regarding Sanjaya getting the key to the city, I think that getting the key to Federal Way is... I think they simply give you a car clicker, like the one for a minivan. You just point it at a Pier 1 import store, and the city emits a beep allowing you entry. The key to Tacoma, though, is attached to an old hubcap with Do Not Steal written on it with a Sharpie, and it gets you into every AM, PM bathroom in the city. Thank you. What else do we have here? Hey, about that guy drowning in Hawaii. It gets worse. He was there to get married.
Yeah, okay. He was. He was hours away from getting married.
Of course. It's like that guy. Did you see that guy that died of... I shouldn't be laughing, but he was an idiot. That guy who signed up for one of those, like, toughen yourself up survivalist courses in Utah. And he died of thirst 100 feet from a big lake filled with water. So, there you go.
That always is too bad.
Don't be dumb and things won't happen to you. Here's Tim Riley.
So, Portland Public Schools have now sent out a letter to parents of Jefferson High School students. Trying to convince them that it isn't as dangerous as it seems.
It's exactly as dangerous as it seems.
Dear parents, please make sure your students' children use the restroom before leaving home in the morning. Actually, it says, we received a tip about this on YouTube. The school staff immediately investigated the claim and found the tip to be true. It appears from the video that the victim knew the assailants and the event was meant to be shown online. Please know that these students acted inappropriately.
Please use more birth control in the future so you avoid having hoodlum children.
Jefferson will not tolerate violence.
No, Jefferson not only tolerates it, Jefferson apparently broadcasts
and encourages it.
Jefferson, seriously.
Remember, this video is posted on YouTube.com.
I'm going to go. Is it still there?
Probably.
Oh, I hope it's there.
It shows a group of teenage boys taking turns slugging another boy.
Slugging.
Oh, it has been removed.
Aww.
But can be viewed on KGW.com.
Fantastic. All right, somebody please.
It's probably the most popular video they've had in quite. Oh, this is probably the most popular one since the guy on the slippery hill hit all the cars.
Rodden Bishop.
So, Broughton Bishop, you have been upstage in your five of students of Jefferson High.
That is
what are you going to do now?
Yeah.
Slide into 15 cars. All right. So, yeah, somebody find me that video and send it to us. I have to see that. All right. We've got this. Rick, let's see. By the way, just a reminder, Abe Vigoda, still alive. All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. All right. It's Tim Riley.
So, last year, Jefferson High suspended 20 students for fighting who are not allowed back on campus for a specific time frame. In round numbers, that is far less than Roosevelt, which had 130. I don't believe it. Benson had 42, Cleveland 46, Grant 58, and Wilson 53. Lincoln and Franklin had the fewest at 16. They're busy dying of drug overdoses over there.
Is Franklin the one? Which is the one? Is that the one with the kid who was on the...
No, that was Lincoln. Lincoln's the good one.
Is that the Lake Oswego one?
No, Lincoln is
what's the high
over
school?
Jefferson.
Is that the school? What's the school where the kid died of the cocaine overdose and they were
Lincoln?
Okay, is that way? Where is that at again?
It's over on the west side.
All right,
on Jefferson.
That story was in the Oregonian about like because he was wearing a football jersey, and so they're
and we know that they're worth more than others.
Yeah, therefore it
because they're in athletics.
Therefore, it had to be covered in exhaustive detail on the front page of the Living section. Rick. Yes, Cleveland is on 26th and Powell, but Jefferson is not on MLK. Good Christ, is everything in Northeast just attached to MLK? I work in Northeast, and I am not attached to MLK in any way. It's a different street. That is true.
Yeah.
That is really true. When people talk about Northeast, they go, well, you know, it's by MLK. That area... When they say that MLK area, you know that that's the geographic equivalent of those people. You know that's exactly what it is when people say that. He says, Jefferson is on North Kirby, about half a mile west of MLK. Roosevelt is over in St. John's with the criminals. And then he signs it, John from Gresham. At least I am not from St. John's. We can all agree on that, sir. At least I am not from St. John's. All right, here's Tim Riley.
So Peter Carlin's wife, a Portland public school spokeswoman,
Portland, Maine,
said repeatedly, finding his grounds for expulsion. So is identifying themselves as a gang member by flashing gang signs or in gang colors. We take this very seriously. We're following up with serious disciplinary action.
Gang colors, because that's what schools ought to be worrying about, is what color palette.
What color is belong to the certain gang?
What is today's fashionable Crip wearing? What is this spring season?
Abercrombie and Crip.
Fantastic. Hold on, I'm looking at the video here. This is on the KGW website.
Oh, this sounds like fun.
Well, this is a commercial. Well, I'm not going to play that.
Wait, because it's sponsored by someone.
Who's the violence sponsored by?
Hold on, Carlot.
This violence, this gang violence,
is sponsored by.
Hold on a second. The bold look of Kohler. Kohler.
School students facing felony charges after a fight at school was videotaped and then posted on YouTube. You'll like to see that videotape on News Channel 8. And Wayne Haverless joins us live from Jefferson High School in North Portland, where all of this happened. Wayne, what's the reaction there?
This is from, we should give credit, this is from KGW.
Where the news comes first.
Videotape where the violence is brought to you by Kohler.com.
Well, Russ, it really has faculty and students talking a lot about public safety, student safety, in places like bathrooms where all this happened. This was really a brutal beating that was captured on tape, and then it was posted on the website YouTube. Let's take a look at
YouTube. He said YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
what the kids say.
Oh, I got to go back. That is YouTube is the new. That's the new TV. Mm-hmm. It was on the TV.
The internets.
What is this guy's name? Wayne blah, blah, blah?
I don't know. I can't tell one from the other.
They all look the same to me.
They're all kind of interchangeable.
They all look alike.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see here. This is whatever the hell this guy's name is. I got to hear him say YouTube again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now it's buffering at 98. Come on.
He's going to play the commercial again.
95? How could it be going down?
Really, a brutal beating that was captured on tape, and then it was posted on the website YouTube. Let's take a look at this and see what happened here. It appears to be a vicious attack against just one student.
Oh, they're blurring the faces. What kind of crap is that?
That's too bad.
Come on. Don't be pussy. Show their faces. This is a... Oh, boy, they're just savagely beating this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I can never...
It's part of growing up.
What you're watching happened...
Part of the new spirit of the Northwest.
At the bathroom at Jefferson high school. Some of the students showed their faces and they made gang gestures, as you see, and now gang investigators with Portland police are looking into this to see if it might be some kind of a gang initiation that took place here. Three 16-year-olds and one 17-year-old have been charged with third-degree assault, and that is indeed a felony charge.
So was there like a poster gang initiation here today?
I'm here for the gang initiation. Is that am I early? I'll go. Yeah, I'll just go walk around the block or something. I got a few phone calls to make. I'll come back. I can just one more. If I can just hear him say YouTube. This doesn't look like that savage of a beating.
Students say
I've seen beatings that are much worse.
Now you could have done better.
This was really a brutal beating that was.
It wasn't that brutal.
Tape.
All right.
And,
here we go.
And it was posted on the website YouTube. Let's take a look at this and see what happened here.
That's wonderful.
It appears to be a vicious attack against just one student. Now, what you're watching happened last week, sometime at the bathroom at Jefferson High School. Some of the students showed their faces and they made gang gestures, as you see, and now
I gotta get me a mouth grill.
Portland police.
That's really what I'm missing.
So have gang initiations been moved to a new location?
This room is closed. Yeah, so there's a big poster. We're sorry. Gang initiations have been moved to room 201 right after the flautists are done.
Meet us in the parking lot at Dottie's.
Oh, man. We ought to totally have some sort of a school beatdown contest between this school and someplace in St. John's.
Yeah,
you know
we
what I mean?
Sponsor that.
Just some sort of a, I was going to say some sort of a beat off, but that's probably not the way to put it. But some sort of a school beating, bracketing kind of thing. You can find the, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Post it on YouTube. That's so great. Thanks to whoever it is that sent this to me. Oh, it's wonderful. I love this city. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, the six men nabbed by federal prosecutors this week for allegedly orchestrating a plot to attack Fort Dix and other military bases will make their case for freedom today. These so-called domestic terrorists were actively mapping out their strategy for mounting an attack, but plans were foiled when their assault weapons provided their information to an FBI informant. So now they changed the name of these guys to the Fort Dix Six.
That's what I was laughing at, by the way. Everybody laughed at it was that because we were talking to Steve Katzenbaum yesterday who said this. He said the Fort Dix Six.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, there's like about four different ways you can read that sentence, linguistically speaking. This just in, Fort Dix Six. I mean, it's just so bizarre. Mm-hmm. And then I got all of these, it wasn't just my imagination. I got like 3, 4, 5 different emails yesterday from people that were pointing out the various similarities between this story and Wag the Dog.
Right.
Which has the strong Fort Dix connection, and of course, the Albania and the so forth. I always thought of Albania as being a really hapless country. I didn't even know they could get it together enough to attack anybody.
Oh, it is. Yeah, that used to be a communist country.
Didn't that whole country collapse in like some big pyramid scheme?
Yep, it sure did. It was a lottery scheme.
Some big Ponzi scheme.
Yep.
What you need to do is to sell this soap to your neighbors, and then, do you know what a downline is? And then, the entire country was, you know, they were all, like, trying to sell, like bars of cold cream or something to each other, and the entire country just went kaput.
Yeah.
Kaput's not a...
I know, that's so these unfortunate gentlemen. Somebody else is going to do that, and then I can be fortunate enough to have a button.
That was just fantastic.
Well, these unfortunate gentlemen from Albania filmed themselves taking practice shots in the Poconos. They got shot in the somebody got shot in the Poconos. Well, they were shooting.
They were
in the Poconos.
Taking shots in the Poconos.
Yes, mm-hmm. It was in their interest in converting the footage to DVD at a Circuit City, which inspired a clerk to alert the cops and authorities to connect the dots.
I didn't write this.
It's okay. First of all, we should explain what we had to bleep there.
We didn't have to bleep it, but saying Fort Dix... See, now I got to be careful. Saying Fort Dix 6...
Right.
Now I don't even know if that's right. Is that correct?
That
Fort
is correct.
Dix 6?
Fort Dix 6.
Except somehow the word 6... Somehow got, there was like a U put in there somehow, and it became sucks, and then there was just the other, and you can imagine the unpleasantness when you transpose one of the other words. Right. It's a whole lot of,
obviously this is going to become an adult film at some point, under that title.
Probably already is, yeah. Right now. Tim Ryan will be doing the score for it. And that taking shots in the Poconos,
Sounds painful.
It sounds sexual and painful. Mm-hmm. The initiation. They're going to put him in the bathroom.
They kicked him right in the Poconos.
He's going to spend all day in the bathroom taking shots in the Poconos.
You'll see the video on YouTube.
YouTube! That's so wonderful. Yes, they're going to be selling it on eBay.
That's the French.
Here's Tim Riley.
Oh, this is sad news. Seventh Heaven has run out of its nine lives. The series will bow out this Sunday night after 11 seasons on the air. Who didn't even know it was still around? Stephen Collins, who plays the Reverend Eric Camden, said the end of the show is tough for him to take.
It's definitely strange and difficult to say goodbye after 11 years. It just becomes so much a part of your life and your existence, and it really is like a family after this time. Not just the cast, but the crew and the writers. I'm going to miss everybody so much.
Creepy, white bread, incestuous family.
This is Seventh Heaven?
Seventh Heaven, yeah. Who was that? Jessica Biel on that show? Is that where she came from?
It might have been.
Sarah, did Jessica Biel come from Seventh Heaven?
Yes.
Did she just leave at some point? She's not still on there, is she?
I think she had to. She tried to get out for a really long time, but they made her stay because the hotter she was getting, you know, the more attention they were getting.
Totally. Nothing like a hot Christian girl.
Well, this surpasses both The Waltons and Little House on the Prairie.
That's
being on the air.
That
is the longest-running family drama in the history of television.
Really?
That's what it says here.
Does that mean we can look forward to an exciting one-woman show from Jessica Biel at C.C. Slaughter's in about 35 years? All right. Phil Connors, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, Phil.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Phil? Yes.
Did the Jeff kids do anything wrong? Did they break any law? Because the BGE was in on the joke.
The BGE. That's a good point. I'm imagining that's actually an interesting question, because the school handbook probably bans fighting, but if he wasn't resisting, it's not really a fight. It's just a guy.
First play.
It's roughhousing.
That's what I'm saying. So F Matt with a big YouTube.
Thank you. Done and done. Or as my grandfather used to call it, grab ass. Quit playing grab ass back there. It is. It's, yes, just a little bit of horseplay. A little bit of good-natured fun. I mean, if it took place, I mean, if it was out on the playground, they probably wouldn't have even, they don't have a playground, probably. Because they're high school kids, right? Is it high school?
Holy shitting range.
It really is true. I'm not going to say the joke that's occurring to me right now. Client alert. Anyway, what was I saying?
You're thinking about the Seventh Heaven.
No, I'm really not. No, but if this was out at, I guess they don't have recess either. None of my jokes are going to work. But I'm just going to say, but if this is out on
their parole,
I should just go home. We've done too many jokes this hour. We've done enough jokes for the next 4 or 5 days. This is like yesterday when I just wanted to leave and go watch that thing you do.
Well, this is in case tomorrow's show doesn't turn out as planned.
We can just use the many jokes from today. If you look at if you average out the jokes on a mean, if sort of the basal number of jokes that we've got all week is just fine.
I'm just trying to give CBS your money's worth.
We outperform when others underperform. What others, Tim? Who are you thinking of?
Oh, they're just people in the building stages, I suppose.
In the building stages.
In the construction industry.
You're a terrible person. Anyway, I have nothing to say, except that this video of the kids beating the other guys on YouTube. So you can look at that. But you're right, it's not fighting. So if it was out just on the school grounds or at a playground or a park or something, and they were just working a guy just because he felt like it being hit,
right.
I guess nobody would care. I guess really the only thing they can press the kids with is like they were doing it in the bathroom, and they should have just been standing around. I don't know.
It's just a room full of Eddie Haskell.
Outside the lunch hall, really. They're giving him the business.
Yeah, they were.
That's fantastic. Oh, good. Yeah, you know, we're just giving him the business, Wally. Come on, Jim. All right. YouTube. All right, here's
a lot of those guys looked a little lumpy.
See, that's one joke too far.
I thought so, yeah.
One joke too many.
Yeah, I won't try anymore till tomorrow.
All right, let's do one more here, and then we'll take a break.
Well, deservedly so. Glenn Close is coming ever so closer to becoming the Outstanding Mother of the Year in America. This is the 29th annual event. It's sponsored by the National Mother's Day Council Association, with the aim to recognize women with the ability to balance a successful career and family life, kind of like Joan Crawford style.
Close says being honored for her role as a mom means quite a bit to her.
I'm thrilled. I do agree that being a mother is really hard.
Oh,
and a lot of times you just don't know if you're making the right decision. There's no rules, you know. I mean, there's a lot to read about, but as far as your own life and your own child.
Some sort of an initiation taking place on the hallway behind her. How much does she sound like Hillary Clinton there?
She does.
Kind of weird. You know, it is. Short hair and pantsuits just gives you that voice, I think. When you do that, it just somehow makes you, it makes you shrill and unpleasant to listen to. The, so, wait, Glenn Close is a mom?
Yes, apparently. Maybe she adopted.
I, well, that would have been my guess. I, it's weird to think, and don't get me wrong, I think Glenn Close is hot. Now, but I know that I am, I know among men, I am perhaps not alone, but I don't know that there's a lot of men who share my assessment that Glenn Close is hot. I find her hot in sort of a butch beat your ass kind of a way. Sort of a horse place kind of a way. I think Glenn Close, I mean, she's sort of aggressive looking, and it does look like she could probably throw a punch and just maybe give you a good knee to the groin every now and again. I do find her kind of sexy. But it's a really gorgeous woman in Hollywood terms, which is why it's strange when you think that she was the female lead in Fatal Attraction. I mean, that's kind of weird when you think back on it now, because she has that big letter opener of a nose and whatnot, and it's like, it just, she looks like she ought to be, like the Audubon Society ought to be keeping her, you know, like in a cage somewhere so she doesn't go extinct. She's got that big beak. But you will go back and you watch Fatal Attraction. From Mr. Joe Enzerhaus, she's all hot and there's that sequence of her getting it on top of the dirty dishes in the sink and whatever, and it's weird to think that that's Glenn Close, because all of her roles after that, she was just very, she toned down the glamour a lot, and then it sort of culminated in her being on The Shield, in season 4 of The Shield, where she played Captain Rawlings, Monica Rawlings, where she was just like a total, What?
Waste?
No, I wasn't gonna. I wasn't gonna say that. I was just gonna say she was. I don't know. She was hard nosed. Let's put it that way. I don't even know what I'm saying. Blah 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 blah. Oh, and then she was in Dangerous Liaisons. She was hot in Dangerous Liaisons, largely just because she was evil, though. She wasn't nearly as good looking in that movie as Uma Thurman was, but she was evil, so that counted for something. All right, 503-733-2970. I take it back. Do we have one more?
Yes, we do.
Let's do one more.
Time to go to the Cleveland Clinic.
Oh, I wasn't prepared, and I got the nothing and the hay and the whatnot. Hold on. Where are we going?
The Cleveland Clinic.
God damn it. Okay.
Well, you want to not have a heart attack?
Sure.
Make sure you eat plenty of oatmeal, brown rice, whole wheat bread, and even popcorn. New research shows eating at least 2 of these and several servings of these whole grain foods a day can significantly reduce your risk of a heart disease or a heart attack. Elizabeth Penman didn't take part in this analysis, but works at the Cleveland Clinic.
It's good to have this study confirm the benefits of cardiovascular disease, because when you look at whole grains, you're looking at the actual 3 parts of the grain. You have the endosperm, the bran, and the germ, and all of those 3 parts combined together provide antioxidants, vitamin E, vitamins, minerals, and fiber, which can then lead to prevention of heart disease.
That was fascinating. I'm sorry, what? Okay. Do we have more from the Cleveland Clinic?
No, that's all we get today.
That's too bad. Hi, Terry, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, hey, dude. She was on Sarah Plain and Tall, Glenn Close. They had like 4 different little series on the Hallmark channel.
I totally know what you're talking about.
She was the mail order bride for Christopher Walken. Now, anybody's going to look good there, but she was hot.
Where was she looking? When she was a mail order bride, what country was she supposed to be from?
From Boston. The West.
She was a mail order bride from Boston?
Yeah. He needed a wife because his old lady died in childbirth on the little 6-year-old boy or
from
3
Boston?
Or 4 or something like that. Yeah, he had to send for a woman.
Boston, Russia? Or
no, Boston on the East Coast. This is like an early West.
Oh, I see. So this took place not in today's society, but in the time of yore.
Yeah, period piece.
All right. Okay, I see.
And they were freeing up the West.
Okay, and so she was the mail order. No,
yeah, but she was looking good.
Oh, no, she's a very sexy woman to
she
me,
does.
But I know that, like, you put her next to, I don't know, you do whatever, pick some vacuous blonde chick, you know, in Hollywood, and you put her next to Jessica Biel, let's say.
Uh-huh. Well, isn't that who you want with you when you're trying to plow the land, somebody that ain't going to break down and, you know, smile when they're real pretty, but when somebody comes to mess with your house, you know,
Close, you can pick up that gun.
That would, in fact, be Glenn Close.
Yeah.
You're on the money there. Thank you, Terry.
All right, babe. Bye.
There you go. Did she say, who do you want with you when you've got to plow the land? That doesn't sound good. You know, Glenn, you're not much to look at. But when the time comes to plow the land, wait. Throw a collar over her neck. All right. Dan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick, what's going on?
Nothing, except I'm picturing Glenn Close at a hitching post with a wagon tethered to her back. What's up? What do you got?
I was wondering if you could remember what Glenn Close's first major motion picture was that she got nominated for.
Well, it wasn't Dangerous Liaisons?
It was not.
It wasn't Fatal Attraction?
No, it was not.
Oh, Big Chill.
Nope.
Oh, damn it. Well, now I got nothing.
Well, I'll give you a hint. John Lithgow plays a transvestite.
Oh, this isn't The World According to Garp.
That was her first major motion picture.
Interesting. I actually have only ever seen that once, and I've never read the book, which is a source of shame to some of my friends. They're horrified by that.
She came onto the scene pretty old in her age. I mean, like, she was she was already a grown woman, and she came on and got nominated her first shot out.
Yeah, no, she looks a little woody now. I mean, she must have been kind of old when she got into the business. Her and that's the problem with what's her name, Sharon Stone too. Sharon Stone was already she was already getting a little dried out by the time she was in whatever Basic Instinct. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
That's Dan. Take a break here. We'll come back after this. All right, 503-733-2970. Ahead in today's program, more from Tim Riley. We have our hunt for the second worst story in the history of the world. We will select the glorious bastard of the day. And more of your phone calls. And if you're lucky, more fun facts about Gabe Kaplan, who Scotty now swears he's going to get on the program. All right, 503-733-2970. Stay there. Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, more from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. We got to do the top five. Hello. We got to the top five here at some point. We'll continue our hunt for the second worst story in the history of the world. I got this big pile of random news to get to. We can talk more about the Portland Anthem, which we're working on. We'll give you an update on the bicycle challenge, the total number of dollars pledged for that, and so forth. All right. Before we do anything else, I'm just going to finish my cup of coffee. So just don't you worry. I'm just going to take a moment here. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. Rick, I think you should donate all funds earned by biking to work. I have no idea. Sorry, I'm going to take this again. Rick, I think you should donate all the funds earned by biking to work in person at some big Special Olympics meeting. Maybe they'll let you light the little retarded torch to set up next year's games.
You know, Kristen Bowie might be working with the Special Olympics this summer. That's your in.
As a volunteer, we should point that out right now. Our colleague Kristen Bowie will be working with the Special Olympics as an overseer of some kind.
Not a participator.
She's not. Yes, we should make that. They don't have it. I hate this sound. I hate to ask this question, but they don't give the Special Olympics kids a torch, do they? That's.
I think it's a flashlight.
You know. Are you making that up? Yeah. Is that true? I don't even care if it's true. I'm just plunging ahead with that belief. It's a flashlight. Is this fire? Yeah, it's fire. Just run that way. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, you should call the OnStar people for assistance. Tell them you need help with a joke before you put it on the air. Offer them several punchlines to choose from and then put the whole conversation on the air. Just a thought. Always trying to help. Thank you, sir. What else do we have here? Rick, about your Hawaii and drowning pop culture reference. We had the story earlier about a guy who was drowned trying to help somebody. And the moral of today's program is never try to help anybody. And I was about to make a pop culture reference regarding that story, and then I decided it was a tired and outdated pop culture reference that had worn out its welcome. And I decided to back up off of that off-ramp and not make the pop culture reference. This is Rick. There's the obtuse pop culture reference. I think the word you're looking for is obscure, by the way. He says that the obtuse pop culture reference involved drown-proofing oneself by always wearing as much greasy substance in your hair as Jack Lord to assure flotation. Now, see, that's a great pop culture reference. I was just going to make the more pedantic observation about the Bradys and the Tiki and the Vincent Price and the, boy, my beans are burning. You know that. I'm not going to do that, though. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email it's Rick at rickemerson.com. Before we get to the news pile here, we'll just final email Rick about the village people. Rick, it's funny you should say that thing about the shopping cart. When I was living in San Francisco a few years ago, I ran into a guy on Lower Haight Street who insisted he was one of the original village people. He was trying to sell a 5-gallon glass carboy to passersby. I got it for $5, so the shopping cart image isn't too hard to imagine, David. No, here's the thing. Victor Willis, who was the original, he was the cop in the village people, who I believe at one...
How do you even know this?
Because I have no life, and I'm married, and I have no demonstrable skills, and no circle of friends with which to occupy my time, and my Xbox Live subscription has lapsed. And so what I do is I sit around the house, and I just inject pop culture knowledge directly into my veins all day long, and then I pass out and come to work. So Victor Willis, who was the original... And I believe, I'm not entirely positive about this, but I do believe he was also the only straight member of the village people. I mean, obviously, there were, you know, the gay men and huge in the gay community as well as the straight community. But I do believe Victor Willis, who played the motorcycle cop, was straight. Pardon me. Pardon me. Yeah, that cough button really works.
That's because my microphone's on.
Thank you. Pardon me while I imitate the beginning of Sweet Leaf. Anyway, I do believe that he was the motorcycle cop and married to Felicia Rashad, later Felicia Ayers Allen, most notable for her role on The Cosby Show. In any event, and then he got as Orlando Jones would say in Office Space, he got addicted to crack. And then he just spent the rest of his life pushing around a cart, picking up bottles off the ground and going, "Are you going to be famous?" And that's about the end of that. That's how that ended. Speaking of addicted to crack, and then I swear to God, we'll get to the pile of stuff. We've got phone calls, we've got whatever. Speaking of addicted to drugs, I would implore you, my friends, I would strongly encourage you, the next time you're at a party or some sort of social event, some kind of gathering, some sort of CBS all-company meeting, and somebody offers you a big bag of methamphetamine, I would strongly encourage you to say no to that. And should you need additional inducement to stay on the straight and narrow, I would only ask that you look at a recent picture of Tom Sizemore. Good God damn almighty, does that guy look terrible. And I mean, I think Dennis Miller totally nailed it this morning when he said that Tom Sizemore's got crazy eyes. He's got, I mean, and he was, it wasn't like he was all there to begin with. Wasn't he the guy, didn't he go to jail for beating Heidi Fleiss?
I think so.
I mean, come on. I mean, he was, it's not like he was, I mean, that guy was like a quarter deck before. And it's not like a big bag of crack really ever increased anybody's mental acuity or stability. So you look at a picture of him on TMZ, and Tom Sizemore looked bad. He looked bad a long time. He's all kinds of unstable. So really, when you come to that particular fork in the road, take the road more traveled and decide to say no to big. I mean, he was in Saving Private Ryan. I mean, he's in one of the most acclaimed films of the last 15 years. When did they find him? Didn't they find him in some place, some hotel room in Yorba Linda? She's trying to score methamphetamine from the stranger next door. You've taken 100 long left turns in your life when that's the case. When you get there, when you get to that point, you've chosen badly many, many dozens of times. All right, I'm just going to do this pile of news. We may or may not have time.
Are you going to get to the horrible story?
Take your pick. Here's what I've got. Here's what I got right here. You, Sarah, I will let you decide. I got three different piles here. Got a case of the piles. I've got three different piles. I've got this pile here, which is just a lot of unpleasant stories, people to be glad that you are not. I've got this pile here, which is our hunt for the second worst story of all time. I've got this pile here, which is just a random smattering of news, some of it bad, some of it merely amusing. Which pile would you rather that I go to?
I think go for number one.
All right, here we go.
Let's do it.
File number one. It's a whole list of unpleasant stories. I was going to try to read these in the news hour, but it didn't really come together that way. So you'll just have to pretend that you're ingesting, I don't know, some sort of a half-baked burrito. This is from Vancouver. A Vancouver man said he's concerned about the possibility of contracting hepatitis after he found some... pre-chewed gum inside his McDonald's hamburger on Tuesday. How do these things...
Man, I was going to go get a hamburger today.
Well, go to the McDonald's of Vancouver. I don't understand how these things happen. I mean, I can understand... I mean, a hamburger doesn't make any sense to me, because that's something that... I mean, unless some guy in the assembly line is just not too careful about where he's sneezing. Max at Pinza was eating lunch with his coworkers in their office in Vancouver when he bit into his big extra and tasted peppermint. He said he spit the... By the way, the money phrase here is about a paragraph away. He said he spit the burger out and quickly realized there was... pre-chewed gum in it. 3/4 of the way through, I end up tasting something like peppermint, something like gum. I immediately knew that it was wrong, because this is not what a McDonald's hamburger should taste like. And now here is the phrase of the day, ladies and gentlemen. Quote, "And so I decided to regurgitate everything back into the box."
Oh.
"And examine it. And it looked like gum to me. Immediately, I felt very sick." So I wonder if that... So he's sitting there. Where is he? He's eating lunch. Let's listen to this now. He's eating lunch with his coworkers in their office in Vancouver. So presumably, they're either in, like, the break room, or they're in the kitchen, or they're sitting around their cubicles, or they're at a table somewhere nearby. He's eating this hamburger. He realizes that there's something that he believes to be pre-chewed gum inside, and then, quote, "I decided to regurgitate everything back into the box." Not even onto a tray somewhere. Not even into some sort of a colander. Right back into the box. And what box do you suppose he's talking about?
Well, like Big Macs and stuff come in.
Yes, you
like
can't.
Cardboard boxes.
You can't vomit into one of those. It would never hold it all.
Oh, man.
You can't control your vomit that much, Sarah. I mean, even if it hadn't digested all the way, there's spray. You can't really... That's not a thing you can aim with any demonstrable degree of accuracy, I would think. I would think there's no real appreciable specificity to where that vomit goes. "I decided," he says, I'm never going to get tired of reading this phrase, "I decided to regurgitate everything back into the box and examine it."
Oh.
And when he says examine it,
okay,
I just picture like one of those guys in Upton Sinclair's The Jungle with rubber gloves up to his elbows just carefully picking through the detritus. "It looked like gum to me. Immediately I felt very sick. Doctors told him to return if flu-like symptoms appear." It pins as if he believes somebody intentionally put the gum in the burger, and he will now be packing his own lunches. Page 2. Hey, here's a guy to be glad you're not. A 14-year-old boy was speared in the thigh by a javelin during a sports class at a Melbourne high school yesterday.
That was my biggest fear when I was on the track team.
Really? I didn't know you were on the track team.
Yeah, I threw javelin.
You never told me that.
We had this conversation.
We haven't had this conversation.
We really have.
Maybe I just wasn't listening.
That's
Maybe
true.
I was nodding my head and
it
pretending to care. So did you throw? You threw the javelin?
Mm-hmm. I did javelin, shot put, and discus, and I also pole vaulted.
Did you ever? Really? I'm almost sure that I didn't know at least 3 of those things. You threw the shot put?
Mm-hmm.
I thought, no offense, I thought you had to be a big, burly German woman.
I didn't throw the shot put so well. I was good at discus and javelin, not so good at shot put.
Did you ever know anybody who got speared by a javelin?
No.
Did you ever see it happen?
No, I was always scared. Yeah, I was always scared because we were running around.
They're made of wood, right? Are they metal-tipped?
No, they're metal.
The boy was on the oval of the Lyndhurst Secondary College in Cranbourne North when the javelin... speared him through his right thigh, pinning him to the ground. She said the javelin was not... She said the javelin... Listen to this now. The javelin was not in the air when the boy was speared. It was unclear how he came to be impaled. That means that somebody just came up and just harpooned him as though he was the great white whale. The boy was taking...
That's a lot of strength, too, because it's not completely sharp. It's kind of rounded off at the end.
Really? So it's sort of blunt, so you'd have to... So somebody'd have to hold him down.
They'd have to, like, jam that into their leg.
Two or three people have to hold him down, probably wiggle it to get it all the way through. No, 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 hold on. It's going through. No, 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 don't move. No, hold on. We're chipping the bone. Don't move. The boy was taken to the Royal Children's Hospital with part of the javelin still in his leg. He was apparently still in good spirits. The page three is from the Oregonian. A former Medford man who converted to Judaism wants his 12-year-old son to be circumcised, something the mother adamantly opposes. The divorce. Imagine you're 12 years old, you're just beginning to learn how to use your penis correctly, or at least correctly for a 12-year-old, and your father comes and tells you that part of it has to be cut off. And I don't think they give you any anesthetic for that. Do they? Because they don't when you're a baby, they don't. Do they, Sarah?
Yeah, you really need to supplicate.
Sarah, when they cut bits of your penis away, I don't really know the religious angle of it. I mean, when they just sort of do it for fun I think when you were Jewish, you know, it's obviously it's part of some ritual left over from whatever from 9 billion years ago. I think when you're a Gentile, they just do it to amuse themselves. But I'm pretty sure that they don't give you any anesthetic, because when you're a baby, they can't, because you know, you're all small and your bodily systems, your functions are very easily overwhelmed, and so they don't want to give you any anesthetic because it might counteract with your body and blah 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 blah. So I'm pretty sure when you're a baby and they give you the circumcision, that they just sort of do it and ask you to play through the pain. So I have no reason to believe it would be any different when you're a 12-year-old. That's got to be a lot of fun, son. I have a surprise for you this weekend. Are we going hunting? No, we're cutting off part of your penis. The good news is you'll be able to feel everything. The divorced couple has been battling, and this is here, this is in Medford, Oregon. The divorced couple has been battling over the issue for 3 years, including whether the boy wants to undergo the... Let me answer this for the boy right now. No. The answer is no. That'd be no for me,
so
sir.
So who's pro and who's anti?
Well, the father, which you think was strange because presumably he has a penis, the father is apparently all in favor of the boy's penis being cut. Apparently he's the primary parent as well. The mother is running out of legal options. The Oregon Supreme Court has been briefed but has not decided whether to take the case. Mark Johnson, a Portland lawyer, commenting on the case, said the court shouldn't let the case be decided based only on the legal papers filed on behalf of the mother and father. Frankly, the child should have a lawyer. Do you think? Jesus, God Almighty. Note to self. Oh, really? Is this true? Okay, let's, hold on. We've got, John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Why, hello there.
How's it going?
What's up?
Yeah, they use anesthetic on it. Our little boy, we had to have his done when he was 6 months old. It was too large when he was born. That's what I like to say anyway. They wanted to wait till he was at least 6 months old, and they go in and they give him anesthetic and they do the whole thing.
So is it like a topical? It's not a general, but like a local anesthetic?
I think it's a shot.
Really?
A little shot.
Oh, see,
I wasn't actually in there when they did it, so I didn't see it, but they were describing it.
Now, was it, now, if I'm asking, now, was it because, was it for a medical purpose? Was there some medical reason why it had to be done, or was it religious? What was that?
No, his foreskin. So they wanted to make sure it was done by somebody who could fix it if there was a problem. There wasn't, but anyway.
All right, then.
Answers your question.
Were you opted not to be in the room to sort of take all that in?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Nothing. Thank you, John, I appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, there you go, thank you. Mark, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Why, hello there.
Hey, Rick, this is Mark Johnson, but I'm not the attorney.
Johnson. Yes?
I was going to say that you could probably catch it on YouTube, but they actually have a film of an official getting hit with a javelin.
Really?
During one of the... one of those summer events or Olympic event. I don't know.
We're going to do a little social experiment right now. We're going to do a little test of technology right now. I'm going to go to YouTube, as they say over at KGW.com. Hold on. Let's see. Where is... sometimes my history folder doesn't contain URLs that I know I have typed in directly. Okay, hold on. We're going to go to YouTube, and we're going to type in javelin, and we're just going to see what comes up, shall we? Hang on a second. Javelin...
I don't want to watch anything.
There's got to be a band called the Javelins. Okay, I'm putting this in right now. Javelin. And then we're going to try javelin injury after that.
Yeah, I don't think it impales them, like, really bad, but it does stick them.
Oh, wait, here we go. Javelin accident. Let's see. Okay, hold on a second. Now I am opening this. Let's see. Am I opening this right now? Javelin accident. It says here on YouTube. Yeah, that's because. Okay, this is a guy. It looks like this is. I think that's. I don't even know where this is. I think it's not. Oh, he's from Juha. Or someplace. Or maybe that's his name. Well, at least some foreigner. He's a big, Aryan-looking guy throwing a javelin in the air. The javelin goes through the air. Oh, my God, in heaven!
Isn't that nice?
It just hit a guy right in the rib cage.
Oh.
And he's an old man, too, right?
The javelin just went right into a guy's sternum. Right down the end of a field. Why would you be at the other end of a field if a guy... Hey, look at that guy over there. He's throwing a huge spear our direction. Let's stand here and look up at the sky like morons.
You know, maybe he was standing at a certain yardage, so it should be easy to figure out how far it went.
Well, yeah, if you hit Bob, that's 300 yards. If you hit Ted, that's 550. Anything beyond John is a gold medal. Oh, that's... Hold on. I know that nobody can see this, but I encourage you to go to YouTube and type in javelin accident, and this is the first result. Sarah, come here. You got to see this.
I don't want to see
it. No, come on. You got to look at this. Come on.
Does he die?
No. I don't know. Then it's 30 seconds. There's no time for... YouTube videos are 10 minutes. There's no time for the trip to the hospital. There's no time for the autopsy footage. All right, hold on.
Hey.
All right, so here we go. We're watching this again. Look at that. He's a big bastard, too. He can throw that. All right, there goes the javelin. Here it goes through the air. No looking away. And bam, right into that guy's chest. Oh, that is fantastic.
Hey, Rick.
Yes, sir.
I've been wanting to get this in for a month now.
Yes.
Can I put my 2 cents in on what all Chinese waiters are?
Yes, this is as part of CBS Radio's ongoing lessons in tolerance and diversity. They have asked us to fill in the blanks mentally to find out our own bigotry and biases by filling in the blank in the following sentence. All Chinese waiters are...
Should I think about this for a minute with the popcorn?
Well noted, sir. I hadn't really thought about that, but, you know, that's probably a good idea. Hold on just a...
All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got to close the javelin accident video before I can play the popcorn bed. Hold on a second. All right. What have you? Do you still want to make the comment, sir?
Yes, sir. All Chinese waiters are hung far low. I'll be here all week.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate that. That javelin accident is badass. That's what Bruce Springsteen would call boss. That's very cool.
We really need to break.
Okay, but I got to take this.
Okay.
I got to take these calls, then we'll break. That's so cool. I'm going to watch that a couple hundred more times. All right. I haven't even gone to this teenage boy who had to have his boobs reduced. Chad, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. Hey, everybody. How we doing?
Why, hello.
Hey, so I hearing the javelin story, it reminded me of this day when I back in high school when I was on the track team, and we had a discus accident.
Yeah.
So I called up Scotty, and he thought you might like to hear the story. Are
okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay. Well, and just a quick little backstory. We hated the guy that got hit, okay? So, we're all practicing. We got the shot putters. We got the discus guys swinging. We got the javelin guys doing their thing, and we're all running around the track, and we all took a break. And the discus guy was still going, and so he flings it. And so here comes this jerk. His name is Adam.
Okay.
And he's walking about, he's one of those guys, he's smoking a cigarette, being a badass, because, you know, he's a tough guy.
Sure.
And he's just walking along the back of the track, and the discus is flung, and all of a sudden we realize, oh, no way. So everybody's turned and watching, and sure as stuff, bam, right in the head.
Oh, the discus?
Discus now, right in the head.
What is a discus, Sarah, what is a discus made out of?
It's... some sort of metal. What is the discus made of?
Well, I don't know what kind of
metal. It's a heavy
metal. It is a metal frisbee, basically.
It's got a hard metal core. It's got the shape, and then its rim is like a hard rubber.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And, oh, my God, dude, no, seriously, that's one of the greatest things in my life, watching Adam get smacked in the head with it.
So
he was all like, oh, I'm dying.
And we're all laughing our asses off. Oh, my God.
Excellent. Was he injured, sir?
No, actually, he was fine. After 10 minutes, he got up and walked off the field, and nobody messed with him. Like,
Adam just had a head.
None of us liked him.
Head like a brick. All right.
Oh, that kid. Oh, it was so great.
I'm glad we gave you the opportunity to relive a merry moment from your life.
I had totally forgotten that, so thank you, sir.
It's what I do. Thank you. There you go. All right, we got a break here. We'll come back. We got these calls around the corner. I gotta finish the stack of bad stories as well. We have Tim Riley coming up. A hunt for the second worst story ever. The top five as well. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.
And if you want a race, just name the place, and I'll show you where it's at. I'm in rock and roll, son, it's
it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. The best thing about today is when the radio program is done, I believe that my entire day is done because everybody else who works at CBS Radio is off the big all-company meeting today, and they're all just going to be sitting there getting hammered once the meeting is done. So I'm just going to go home. 301, I'm on Tim Riley time. Just leaving. 503-733-2970. I'd like to
But you're not leaving for the newsroom.
No.
As I leave for
I'm sorry, no, of course not. Tim Riley leaves at 301. To walk down the hall and prepare more news. By the way, I'd like to thank the person who sent me. Now I'm just getting nothing but YouTube videos with sports injuries like this one. This is a description of his YouTube video. Pole vaulting plus testicles equals bad. And the greatest thing about this javelin video, you sure you don't want to watch this again? Is when the guy when the guy pulls the javelin out of his rib cage at the end. It's a whole lot of like, right out. All right. 503-733.
What is that guy doing standing in the middle of the field anyway?
I don't know. Perhaps he was feeling down about things.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is your president, your prophet, your seer, and your revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Mitt Romney says his fellow Republicans at the Bush White House made mistakes in Iraq, and the country is paying for it. He also deplores polygamy. He acknowledges that...
He deploys polygamy?
Deplores.
Oh, polygamy. We're going to be launching polygamists into the following 15 Axis nations.
He says that's part of the history of this church's past, and I understand it's troubling the people. The practice outlawed before 1900 is equally troubling to him. I have this great-great-grandfather, you see, and they're trying to build a generation out there in the desert, so he took on additional wives because he was told to do so. And I must admit, I can't imagine anything more awful than polygamy. His wife converted to the Mormon church before they were married. He's interviewed this week on 60 Minutes.
He can't imagine anything worse than polygamy.
Right.
He can't imagine anything worse than polygamy.
That's correct.
Cancer?
No, polygamy's worse.
Holocaust?
Polygamy.
Okay. A meteorite smashing into the earth and killing all living things. No, it's still polygamy.
Polygamy.
You know, Brigham Young had 54 wives. I mean, for the love of sweet God. And is it, you know, the weird thing, and I don't want to sit, but I want to be like I'm bashing at Mormons. They're no crazier than anybody else. They're a little crazier than some people. But they
have a whole state to themselves, though.
They're less, well, that's the thing. You've got to give it
but
up.
But then again, the southern states have Mississippi and Alabama.
And the Baptists have that.
Yeah.
No, you do have to give it up to the Mormons that they do. I mean, the trains do run on time in that place, and the women are hot. So I will give them that. I don't understand. Well, first of all, I don't really care about polygamy. Be polygamous, don't be polygamous. I don't care. I mean, it's kind of a given, if you look at it from an outsider perspective, that they only gave up polygamy because the United States wasn't going to give them statehood, and the government was eventually just going to wipe the Mormons off the map if they didn't just sort of acquiesce on that. But what was my point about this going to be? Blah, 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 blah. You know, the thing about the thing that makes the Mormons so uncomfortable about polygamy, apart from the fact that it's, I don't know, that it's sort of titillating in a weird way, especially when Joseph Smith, some of his wives were like 12. The thing that Mormons have so much trouble with when it comes to this, polygamy is just sort of the crazy aunt in the basement. She's not quite dead, you know, so you can't really get rid of her. She's always sort of around. They can't get past the fact that according to their own history, like, God appeared to Joseph Smith and said, you are to marry multiple wives. Like, it was a commandment from God.
Well, how could one resist that?
What's that?
How could one resist such an order?
Oh, no, they couldn't. That's the thing, is that Joseph Smith was like, well, what a... And Joseph Smith, and Brigham Young especially, there's all these... Brigham Young had all of these diary entries he kept, where it was a whole lot of like, well, I don't want to, but I mean, I mean, I'd really rather not have sex with dozens of women. I'd rather have sex with this one horse-faced woman with steel hair for the rest of my life. I'd rather just put it to my one wrinkled spouse forever. God commanded me, though, to have sex with an increasing number of nubile young girls, and so I have no choice but to obey, oh Lord. You can tour Salt Lake City, and you can actually see the house where Brigham Young lived, and it's great because it's a house with then all of these extra wings that were clearly added onto it over the years as he married one 14-year-old girl after another. So, anyway, the final observation I will make about this, and this is entirely true.
So what happened when he was done with these wives? Did he put him in these like little rooms like the red light district in Amsterdam, one after another?
Exactly. He just sealed them up behind brick walls. Just sealed them up with the Amontillado.
Hmm.
Joseph Smith received, up until the day he died, Joseph Smith was receiving, quote, revelations from God, where God would like appear to him or whatever and say like, Joseph, I want you to go check the tire pressure in your car, you know, or whatever it is Joseph would, you know, be commanded to do by God. Joe, this is a true story. Joseph Smith, founder of the Mormon Church, their first prophet, his wife, Emma Smith, was, of course, horrified by the notion of polygamy because she was like 100 and ugly, and she didn't want Joseph Smith to be giving it to a bunch of like hot young girls. And so Joseph Smith tried to explain to her. He's like, no, the Lord has commanded me to be polygamous. The Lord, unless you think that I'm just being anti-Mormon, this is all historically accurate. Emma Smith was opposed to polygamy, and Joseph Smith kept saying, no, it's really part of God's plan, honey, so I'm going to have to go have sex with the neighbor girl, so you mind the knitting, and I'll be back later tonight. And she kept complaining about it until finally he produced this one revelation, as he put it, this one word directly from God. And the I think it's like the 37th revelation or something he received, but it actually says, I can't remember the exact wording, but it actually mentions his wife by name and says like, shut up. It's this revelation from God that actually says like, and those non-believers such as Emma Smith are to keep their peace and leave the prophets alone. It's a revelation from God that actually instructs his wife by name to shut up and quit nagging him. And the people in the church just swallowed it. They're like, well, all right. That God actually came down and gave a revelation to him for the sole purpose of shutting up his wife by name.
So I guess he didn't send one down for Marie Osmond.
No. So that kind of tells you what you need to know about Mitt Romney right there. All right, he's Tim Riley.
A foreign national is being released from police custody in Mule Shoe, Texas, after allegedly admitting that the cell phones he buys are probably used as detonators to bombs in the Middle East. Authorities confronted the man of Lebanese descent in a strange accent last month.
Uh-oh.
When he tried to purchase a large amount of cell phones, Mule Shoe Police Chief Brian Frieda disguised what the officers found.
The individual we were visiting with was very nonchalant or didn't seem to be fazed by the statement and just responded to the positive, saying, yes, that may be what they're used for.
Mule Shoe?
Yes, Mule Shoe Police Chief Brian Frieda said the man would resell the phones to a Pakistani in Dallas who separated the power pack and the charging system and then repackaged the phone for resale in the Middle East.
Throughout the interview, we never received any more information, or nor could we get him to go back to the point of admitting that they were going to be used as detonators.
All right, I don't really know what's going on in that story, but I suppose it matters. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Rick. My name's Rich, and I am Jewish. I had two twin boys 11 months ago.
Yes, sir.
And they were administered a local anesthetic during their birth.
So it isn't a thing that you just have to sort of grit your teeth and muscle your way through?
No. The Moyle, the guy who does the circumcision, dips his finger in a little Manischewitz wine and puts it in the baby's mouth, and then also gives them 5 injections to the penis of local anesthetic.
I don't want... Look, can I say this?
I'm crossing my legs.
Yeah, we're all cringing. 5 injections to the penis just sounds unpleasant. That's like when Ella Cool J talks about 14 shots to your dome. I don't want injections of anything in my penis, unless it's of, you know, like some sort of superpower, formula that they've created somewhere. Unless it's that stuff they gave Captain America.
Yeah, they screamed bloody murder during the injections, but not a peep while their foreskin was being cut.
That's just the worst phrase on earth. I mean, God love you, my friend, but good Lord.
Let's go back to throwing javelins.
Sure, I was going to say, I'm going to go back to the guy getting a javelin right through his spine.
I can handle that.
All right, thank you, Rich.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. Thanks so much. I guess it helps that you get them liquored up beforehand. All right. Have some wine.
Now, many injections to your penis. I mean, all right. Jerry, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Please tell me this isn't about injecting anything into one's penis.
No, it has absolutely nothing to do with injections.
Is it about, somebody injecting a javelin into their body?
Has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
Want to try for three?
No.
Okay. You made the mistake of mentioning there should be a band by the name of the Javelins.
Yes.
Way back in, I don't know, 65, 66, 67.
Oh, God.
Ian Gillan, the vocalist for Deep Purple, been going strong for years.
Right.
Old band. That was the name of his old band, the Javelins. And they just recently got together and started to do a bunch of really good songs, you know, Blue Monday and Love Potion Number 9 or All Over Beethoven.
They're coming back.
Yeah, you never know.
No, you never can tell, sir.
Pretty hot stuff. You were talking about Mormons earlier. They're a pioneer religion.
Smoothly transitioning from one to the other. What?
Yeah, segues are for kids. You stumped me. Okay.
What are you talking?
Pioneer religion, Millerites. I'm sorry. Spawned the Mormons, which also spawned Seventh-day Adventism. If you know much about that, they're just as crazy.
You know, there ought to be, No, wait, hold on.
I'm one, by the way.
You're what?
Seventh-day Adventist.
Oh. Well, I was just thinking that there's a funny phrase. I don't know how you get to it. I was thinking Seventh-day Autism is funny.
That's not bad.
I don't really know how you get to it, though. I'm a Seventh-day Autism. That doesn't really work. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
And we're done. You know, Tim, Ian Gillan's coming back. He's singing the Locomotion. Order your copy today. Here's to...
The Glenn Miller Orchestra is also coming back.
They're not coming back anywhere. Unless they're coming back as undead swinging zombies. Hey, speaking of zombies, and Glenn Miller, who died on a plane, did you hear about that new movie they're making? I swear to God, it's real. It's not fake. It's called Flight of the Living Dead. It's zombies on a plane. I swear to God. Zombies on a plane.
That does sound good.
On an MFing plane. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, event labeled Free Paris. A rally in Lower Manhattan today has been a bust. Organizers of the event say they are upset by a L.A. Judge's decision to send Paris to 45 days in prison. But nobody in New York is upset, apparently. Nobody attended. A man died while trying to outdo a rival with an acrobatic move while battle dancing in Connecticut. Robert Stitt, who's 48, and his rival were competing in a parking lot Monday night. When he tried a forward flip and landed on his head. There were two guys dancing. Everybody was laughing. Well, not at the very end. James Brown was on the radio and Stitt wanted to undo a rival dancer who was flipped into the air, but the victim went into cardiac arrest and was pronounced dead at the scene. Several people in the parking lot drinking and battle dancing, a competition in which each dancer tries to one-upman the other person with unique moves.
Uh-huh.
It needs to be banned.
Rick, when I was in grade school, a girl I went to school with hit another girl in the head with a shot put. It hit him, and in slow motion, he went down with the thing still stuck to his temple. It took him 3 years to learn to read again. True story, she says. Thank you for that. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, CBS's sister company, Viacom's, first quarter earnings are down 36%. They blame it on the high marketing expense for movies and the restrictioning of MTV, which they seem to do every month. They also had a couple of motion pictures out. What were they? Blaze of Glory, which opened at the end of the quarter, and Disturbia, that opened just at the end of the previous quarter.
Those did really well, though.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Do they ascribe any... what am I trying to say? What's the reason why they lost so much money?
It says here, they were weighed down by higher marketing expenses for movies and the restructuring of MTV, which they do like every month.
Is that when they restructure most of their audience to other channels? We're going to start storing our audience elsewhere.
But they haven't restructured some of Redstone's office.
MTV has decided to restructure. They're going to store most of their audience over on MySpace. Rick, we were all pole vaulting one day on the practice field when one kid broke his pole on the way up. As he swung his leg upward, the part he still had in his hand speared him through the front of his thigh and then stuck out the back. By the way, stuff like that happens all the time while pole vaulting. Usually it's just missing the pads and crashing to the side, or worse, on the metal standards. Go to YouTube and type in pole vault accident. You'll get a lot of stuff. All right, thank you.
Yeah, pole vaulting's a little freaky if you're up that high.
I never do that, because you know that thing's going to break. You know that's it. No. I'm not going to do it. That's pole vaulting.
It's fun. It's like flying through the air.
like flying through the air and landing on spikes.
Yeah.
Nick, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
What's going on, man?
What's up?
So, anyhow, I just I caught the tail end of your guys' talking about anesthetics and circumcising and all of that good
stuff.
Well,
there's this guy in Medford who somehow decided his 12-year-old needs to be circumcised.
Oh, guess
gonna make
what?
That's going to make you happy and well.
I was the kid in Vancouver whose parents decided that their 12-year-old needed to be circumcised.
Now, why did they decide that that was necessary?
It was more me than them, to be honest with you, Rick. I was, you know, starting to get touchy-feely with girls in my old ripe age of 12 and decided that I wanted to be normal. And had I known what I was going to have to endure, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have gone so far.
How do I put this? When you say you know what you were going to do, presumably you didn't just go in and go, I want to be, and he just pulled out some scissors, right? I mean, they did tell you. They said, look, here's what it is.
Yeah, well, pretty much. I mean, they didn't let me know what it was going to be like. You know, I didn't have any idea what the procedures were going to be at all.
Yeah.
I just knew that I had a weird wiener that looked like an anteater, and I wanted it to be normal. So, okay. But that was a whole bunch of me being...
This is, by the way, we're discussing this now. This is a medical and sociological issue that we are discussing here on the Rick Emerson program.
Absolutely.
It's part of the public interest, convenience, and necessity. That's...
Oprah does it.
That's how we roll. Yeah, that is true. And worse. All right. Thank you, Mike. Let me just ask you this real quickly, and I don't want to dwell on this, but... So, you got it done on, let's say, a Monday. How long did that hurt?
Oh, man. Dude, it was bad. I mean, they put, I think it was like 12 stitches or something in it. And, it was brutal. I had to keep it bandaged up and keep it all. Yeah, it was rough for probably about 2 weeks. I was doing a whole lot of sleeping on my back.
Tim, okay, hold on. Tim is actually shifting uncomfortably in his chair, putting his hands on his face, taking off his headphones, and twitching uncontrollably.
I could imagine.
But, I mean, if you had it to do again, you'd be like, well, F that. Just, I'm going to be who I am, and everybody can... Because then, I don't want to get off into a whole thing about it, but, I mean... And I know that there's people who feel like there's the invisible guy in the sky who wants you to cut off part of your kid's Johnson. But I mean, the idea that somehow you just got to do it to look like everybody else, hopefully that's a thing that's just going to get evolved out of in our society.
I hope so.
That's just stupid.
Sooner or later.
Just retarded.
But another thing that I wanted to talk about was I heard you read that email about that kid that got hit in the head with a shot put.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that probably came from one of my friends, actually, because I went to school with a kid that, got a whole lot of shot put right in his forehead. And
you got a whole lot of shot put. That's fantastic.
Dude, I mean, it was ridiculous. I hadn't seen him for a few years, and then we just went up to Whistler a couple of years back, and I remember asking him about it. And he seriously has a flat spot and like an indent still in his head, and it happened like 10 years ago.
It's good God, did he walk all slow and kind of lean to one side?
No, I think he got over all the brain damage by now. So,
all right. Thank you, Nick.
Yeah, I'll take it easy, man.
There you go. Yeah. I think he got over all the brain damage. Rick, did you watch the 4-hour documentary on Mormons on PBS? I did. It was genius. P.S., what's the punishment for polygamy? Answer, having more than one wife. And then it signed Z. Thank you. Z indeed, sir. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile,
Jesus,
I think this is going to be Kitty Kirk's replacement. Get an old white man and put him in the anchor chair. This could be the first step of that. Lou Dobbs.
Sound advice.
Lou Dobbs, the award-winning television broadcaster, has been named a special contributor to the early show. It was announced by the new vice president of CBS Morning Broadcast of News. His name is Steve Friedman. Dobbs will continue weekly commentaries to the broadcast, the first of which will be seen... Oh, he's already been on. This is an old story. It makes Lou stand out. He's not afraid to tackle the... It'll benefit from having the unique, passionate perspective that Lou will bring to the television news. Apparently, nobody's even talked about this yet, so nobody's watching.
Well, you know, and Lou Dobbs, who... I think Tom Likas was talking about this. Lou Dobbs was just... You know, he wasn't really getting... Because he does Moneyline, right? That was his thing?
Yeah.
He still does?
Well... Partially, now his big thing is illegal aliens.
Yeah, now he screams about Mexicans. That's kind of his thing. And the Mexicans are here, and they are coming for all of us. That's like the Lou Dobbs deal now. And so I guess they're figuring that that's the way to recapture, like, the angry old white person demo.
Well, because they don't have Pat Buchanan on CNN.
No, they don't.
They're still on MSNBC.
Is that where he is?
Yeah.
Is he still just angry and just yelling about things?
Yeah, he's...
He's arguing with some 30-year-old editor of some magazine nobody's ever heard of.
Boy, how sad to be the guy who gets put up against... Being the guy who goes up against Pat Buchanan on one of those shows is like being that sort of, you know, like the ham and egg guy that they get to go up against Hulk Hogan, you know, and like WrestleMania. Look, your job is to lose. Now, he's going to beat you, and then blood is going to spurt from your face, and you will fall over. That's what it's like to be the guy, you know, opposite Pat Buchanan. Jesus. I want to see him and William Donahue in a room together.
Oh, that would be good.
Just see if the universe just kind of folds in on itself. Rick, you are killing my chances to listen at work. Did you really refer to someone as being a seventh-day autistic? Not really that smoothly, sir. I was trying to work the phrase in, but I couldn't... I couldn't get it to work. Rick, how about this? Rick, what is this? Man-cringing hour? Come on. All right. Let's see. What are we doing here? This is...
See,
I don't even know that I want to take this. Well, I'm going to think on it.
What does it say?
It says, I have a circumcision story.
I think it's time for me to go back to the newsroom for a while.
Tim Ross is going to be retiring from our room for just a few. All right, well, we just have to break anyway.
Yeah.
Isn't that handy? All right, let's take a break. Back after this, we got to do the top five and the hunt for the second worst story ever. Plus, next hour, we will announce the glorious bastard of the week. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid States Radio. Don't go anywhere. Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, the Portland Anthem must contain a solo made up of a full chorus of kazoos. The kazoo is the instrument of Portland. You can, by the way, if you want to, you can go to myspace.com/Rick Emerson, or you can go to rickemerson.com. You can find out how you can submit the next few lines for the Portland Anthem, which we're working on right now. I want to thank the many people who sent me this pole vaulting accident from YouTube. This is really horrific. I won't make you watch this, or you wouldn't really appreciate it anyway. It's all about the junk.
No. I still like seeing injuries.
No, this one's especially bad. It's, how do I describe this? I was going to say I don't want to give it away, but I mean, there's really no way that my description could do justice to the visual depiction. It's a guy who's pole vaulting. He pole vaults successfully over the, you know, the bar. But the problem is that his body is like, let's say, the body is, let's say, 20 feet in the air. The pole that he's using is about 15 feet in the air. And as he plummets to earth... The pole remains upright, perhaps a few seconds longer than is really ideally desirable. And the pole just catches him right in the junk. Catches him right in the sack. Then it's just a whole lot of get a cold compress and some stitching. 503-733-2970. Rick, the film was... This is about Flight of the Living Dead. Rick, the film was titled Plane Dead. However, like all things in Hollywood, they wanted to capitalize on snakes in a plane. They have changed the title to Flight of the Living Dead. It does look to be terrible, he says, in the best possible way. Unlike 28 Weeks Later, which, and then even finishes this, I have heard that 28 Weeks Later is good. I heard that from Fat Boy, from the Corden Fat Boy show, so I don't really know if it's true or not, but that is the word that I heard. Something, something, blah, blah, blah. All right, let me read this one final story, and then we should probably do the top five here, because I've been putting it off for like a year and a half. This is just from New York. In case you were feeling bad about your life, you wanted someone else to be glad you were not. Ladies and gentlemen. Dateline New York. An insurer that refused to pay for a teenage boy's breast reduction surgery on the ground that it was cosmetic must reimburse his father for the operation, an appeals court ruled Tuesday. The Supreme Court's appellate division upheld two lower court rulings that directed Group Health Incorporated to pay for the surgery because the breast reduction was medically necessary for the boy to lead a normal life.
Does it have a picture of the breast?
No, sadly it doesn't.
Oh.
In 2004, the 17-year-old boy's father sued the insurance provider because they refused to pay to reduce the boy's breasts. GH said the surgery was cosmetic and not medically necessary. Court papers said the teen was teased by his peers and was afraid that others would see his breasts every day. He would not go to the beach and even refused to attend an out-of-state university, fearing dormitory mates would ridicule him for the size of his breasts. How large must your breasts be as a boy for you really to have to go to the doctor and get those things taken care of?
I just think it's really unfair that they publish this story and don't put a picture of the breast. Like, they could even just block out his face just so we can see them.
No, because don't you wonder?
Yeah, too. Like, how bad can they be? Because you see men with moobs a lot.
Is that what they're called?
Men boob.
I didn't know that that's what they were called.
I don't know if that's what they're called.
Well, it makes you wonder whether he himself is obese, and if that just sort of came along with the obesity, or if he's just like a real thin boy, real big boobs. All right, there you go. 503-733-2970. Let's see. Really? Okay, well, Scott, let's see. We can just do without the...
Scott E.J., this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to that!
Please
up,
Scotty.
Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Scotty J., our intrepid PA. Why, hello, Scotty, and how are you on this very fine Thursday?
I couldn't be better, Rick.
Are you really truly great?
No.
Is it just the hangover, or is it something new?
Yeah, it's just the daily hangover.
When's the last time you had a cigarette?
You have a hangover today?
When's the last time you had a cigarette?
Well, I don't know. Sometime this morning.
Okay. How many cigarettes have you had in the last 24 hours?
Well, counting last night.
Yes. Now, when I say the last 24 hours, no, the last 24 hours since midnight. Yes, in the last 24 hours, which does include yesterday. Was that a pack?
No.
15?
A pack and a half?
Since yesterday?
Yes. In the last 24
hours. Okay.
You know what 24 hours is?
Yes, I do.
15?
Probably.
Okay. All right. We're just going to ask every day.
Okay.
What are your...
One day I'm going to say none.
But then the next day you're going to say 15 again. That's why the none is meaningless. Like, when you say none, that might actually carry some weight if it was ever followed by another day where you said none. But that's not really the case. It's always followed by, well, I was drinking. So, don't worry about it. All right, Scotty J., are you prepared to help us count down the top five you've created and that I meant to get to like a year ago?
Yes, and I made you a little special surprise. I don't know if you want to give it a sample.
Oh, is this the Paris Hilton sounder you've been working on?
Yeah, it's just a sample.
Yeah, but here's the thing about this.
You might like it, you might not.
Yeah. You've been working on this all day.
I got
you started
that.
Working on this at like 11 o'clock today. You've been spent every time I walk by the studio, you've been spending 3.5 hours working on this Paris Hilton sound.
How do you know it's just that?
We don't even need a Paris watch. We're not even doing a Paris watch. Do I really want to play this, or is it terrible?
I don't think it's so bad.
Look at that bagpipes.
I wish.
It's clean.
It's clean. I got to go back for another 3 hours. Yes, it's clean.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Scotty J's Paris sounder.
All strange, don't you know that when you play at this level, there's no ordinary venue.
Bologna and bread.
Is Iceland, or the Philippines, or Haiti, or this place.
Paris. You're done. That's the worst sounder you have ever made.
Back to the drawing board.
How can you be getting worse?
How did you have spent 3.5 hours on that?
I thought it was kind of funny putting the bologna sandwich in there. Because the menu changes. The guy goes, and the menu changes, and you go, bologna.
What guy says what menu changes?
He's in there right before the bologna.
Why are you using one night in Bangkok for this?
One night in Paris? I thought it'd be kind of funny.
All strange. Don't you know that when you play at this level, there's no ordinary venue.
Bologna and bread.
It's Iceland, or the Philippines, or Haiti.
Okay, he doesn't say menu, he says venue.
Okay.
Well done. Fantastic.
Back to the drawing board.
So it's not only a terrible joke, it actually is based upon something that's not even really there.
Yeah.
So it's based on a misheard lyric. Let's play it. Now, it does have extra humor now. Let's play it all the way through again.
All strange. Don't you know that when you play at this level, there's no ordinary venue.
Bologna and bread.
Like the Philippines.
Well done.
Or this place.
Yeah.
working on this since 11 o'clock this morning.
Well, the thing
George
is...
George Dunn.
The thing is, you can't be too careful with your company. I mean, it's perfect for jail for Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Let's take some of these calls. I wonder what they're about. I wonder what people are calling about. Let's find out. Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Well, Rick Emerson, I have to say, Scotty should have used the line out of the One Night in Bangkok song where it says, I get my kicks above the waistline, sunshine. He totally overlooked that in that song.
The best part is how he's been listening to this song for 20 years and actually listened to it over and over again for 3.5 hours this morning and never realizing that he was actually mishearing the lyrics entirely the entire time. So, yeah. All right.
Well, it could be worse. It could be, excuse me while I kiss this guy.
That is true. Thank you. All right. Hey, is this Andy guy holding about a circumcision thing?
I think he wanted to share his story of heartbreak and air or whatever.
Heartbreak and what?
I don't know. That's what the announcers always say, heartbreak and something. Whatever. He wanted to share his story.
Heartbreak and air?
Yeah, whatever. Just skip it.
Air spelled how?
Like as in to air.
How do you spell that?
Oh, God.
How do you spell to air?
T. O. Two, right?
Okay, yeah. How do you spell the second half of that?
E-R-R-O-R.
To error.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello?
Hi.
Turn up the radio.
Hi, turn your radio up, please.
Okay. Got it.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
This is Rain in Portland.
Hi, how can I help you?
Oh, I just have a track and field story where...
Does it involve an injury?
It does.
Fantastic. Let's hear it.
This guy named Nicholas was running around the track at a track meet, and he fell and scraped off his nipple, and his nickname became Nipless.
Oh. His nickname is Nipless?
Yes.
Which nipple was it? Do you know?
I don't know.
No, wait. No, hold on. So he was... Okay. He's running around... Was this at a high school?
Yes.
He was on the track.
Yes.
Now, the tracks are sort of rubbery, aren't they?
A little bit.
So, he was running around. Was he just like running a marathon or a sprint or something?
I think he was just practicing.
He wasn't even, there's nothing even at stake. Couldn't even win anything. He falls face first. Now, but he must have been wearing clothing.
I think he was just wearing his little track tank top.
And so maybe it shifted to the side somehow as he was falling?
Yeah, that's the impression.
He scraped off his nipple?
Yes.
There's a story you can relate to, Sarah. You can't appreciate the guy getting a pole vault in the, you know, a pole vaulting thing right in the joint.
My nipple scraped off?
Yeah, no, you can relate to that.
You know, but a story where you don't have a stake, a story where you have nothing to lose, you're never going to shift in your seat during that pole vaulting story. And so, did they try to reattach the nipple?
No. He just went nippleless forever.
It's like a pencil eraser. She has some little nubs all over the ground. All right, God bless you. That's a great story. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Yeah. Let's do the top five, huh? Here's the, and then we'll think about Andy and his circumcision call.
4, 3, 2, 1, fire. Counting is marvelous, counting is the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I love to count, don't you?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here with today's top five is our intrepid PA, Scotty J. Hello, Scotty J.
How's it going, Rick?
Okay.
My Don Pardo voice. Sort of. With a Muppet thing in there.
Uh-huh. So then
you're hungover.
You really are firing on half of a cylinder today. Spell cylinder.
C Y L A N D E R. God, see if I could use a pen and think. That'd be great.
Yes. Actually, just even one of those, maybe. All right. If only he could use a pen and think. So this is your top five. These are the top five songs with baby in the title. Is that
yes.
the deal? All right. These are the top five baby songs that you happen to have sitting on your hard drive. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right.
I can't tell when this is going to end, but I think it will very soon.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Scotty J, the top five baby songs from his hard drive. Go ahead.
All right. The honorable mention goes to Bread, Baby, I'm
Alone. Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
Rick loves this song.
We always play this as a joke.
Yeah. I agree. I don't like this song.
Not a joking matter.
Scott, did you ever make out to the Best of Bread album?
No, don't say making out to Scotty J.
It would look like this.
Come on, Steve.
You're the only one.
Scotty's now pantomiming what making out looks like, by the way, if you're at home. Just, you can't see this. Scotty is now...
You're a grown man.
Scotty is miming what it looks like to make out with somebody. Just in case Sarah and I weren't quite privy to that information.
Yeah, this is quite a song.
This is a terrible song. I have this, I have somewhere in my basement the cassette of the Best of Bread. Because when I was a kid, I joined a record club. And there's that thing where you got to pick like eight for a penny. But it's always like there's three good ones and then there's a bunch of crap. And so you end up buying stuff you don't even really want. And for me, I got the Best of Bread on cassette.
Actually, it's not a bad cassette or a bad CD. It's
of course
just,
it is.
This particular
terrible.
Song is boring.
Oh, like the rest, like Make It With You is a much better song. You know what I was thinking about the other day? Somebody was playing Dark Side of the Moon the other day, and they were talking about how when they were in high school, who was it? I think it was Don Geronimo or Michael Merrill. One of the guys was down. I'm like, I think it was Mike was talking about how when he was growing up, Dark Side of the Moon was a full-on makeout record. Like, you put on Dark Side of the Moon, that's what the kids would make out to. I was thinking about this the other day. Is there, and I mean, I know this just makes me sound really old, but is there some makeout record that the kids all use today? I was thinking about that. I don't really know the answer. I am curious about that. Because when I was in high school, there were a couple known makeout records, right? Sarah, probably you as well.
When I was in high school, I used to make out with my boyfriend did a Titanic soundtrack.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's badass. Fantastic.
So you do like Celine Dion.
Maybe. Everybody likes that song.
That's a good song.
You know what? And people, you know, if somebody says they don't like that, they're lying.
All I can say is
the Titanic soundtrack. That's pretty great. Would you now? Did you put it on in advance? Like, hold on before
sometimes,
we.
Sometimes I know.
Hold on before we make out. Stop for a second. I got to put the Titanic soundtrack on.
Yeah, what does it look like?
The soundtrack.
What look like?
No, the make out.
Stop it. Just you don't talk so much right now. So you would. So he'd be like, let's make out, baby. Like, hold on, I got to go find the Titanic soundtrack.
That thing around with me. All right.
A little bit of James Horner in your backpack. I'm trying to remember what when I was in school, what the big make out record was. I do remember being Pink Floyd, The Wall, a lot for some reason. Which didn't really seem like an obvious choice. It seems like Dark Side of the Moon would be a better choice. But Pink Floyd, The Wall. Oh, Disintegration by The Cure.
Oh, that's a great one.
Really? We would like...
The whole album, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I remember in high school, Disintegration by The Cure was a really, really big make-out record. I don't think
whenever I'm bummed, I still listen to that record.
Disintegration?
I love
one of the best albums ever made. One of the most flawless records ever made. I think that was pretty much it. I can't really think of anything else. I think that was probably...
Depeche Mode had some stuff. But
oh,
was more,
Violator.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Violator album by Depeche Mode a little bit.
I like that one.
Mainly
it's
The Cure.
It's got some depressing points to it.
I just wonder what the kids make out to now. And I don't wonder that because I'm trying to be like hip and down with the kids. Because that's clearly not going to happen. It's just a thing I really do wonder about. I wonder because the fragmentation of music... Because kids are listening to music on MySpace, and I don't sound like that YouTube guy, but you know, they find music on YouTube and on MySpace and on file sharing sites, and the indie record scene is a lot more vibrant than it was even 10, 12 years ago. I do wonder if there's such a thing as unanimity, if there is any sort of unanimous opinion among the kids now about what you make out to.
Well, maybe we'll get some calls.
That was subtle, Scotty. Well done. That was smooth. Maybe we'll get some people from the audience calling in on one of our many open phone lines.
No, they're jammed.
Just stop.
All right. Number five. We're actually getting to the top five now. That was just honorable mention. So since that was so great, we're now moving on to number five.
Scotty's top five baby songs.
The number five song goes to Salt and Peppa. Push It.
Yeah, these are not my baby songs.
Yeah,
but it has
no
baby.
Oh, right. Because it'd be Oh Baby Baby.
It doesn't necessarily have to be in the title of the song.
Oh, we're playing by Scotty J's rules.
That's right. I changed the rules.
Scotty J makes his own rules. He makes his own law. I know it's not right to say this, but I hate this song.
Oh, I do too.
That song's annoying.
Hey, by the way, just in case, you wanted another reason to dislike this song, Metallica totally pilfered this song for the main melody line in that Until It Sleeps song off that god-awful Load album. Next time you listen to Until It Sleeps by Metallica, listen to Until It Sleeps by Metallica with this song in mind, and you will realize where they stole the basis for that song from. This is a terrible song.
Can we move forward?
It does seriously have the word baby in it.
All right, moving along to number four. Number four goes to the Steve Miller Band, Keep On Rocking Me, Baby.
God, you're such a KGON guy. This is a great song.
KGON.
Stop it.
I went through a huge Steve Miller phase.
Everybody does. Yeah. Were you in college?
No, I was in high school. I was a freshman, I think.
Really? That's mm-hmm. Okay, that's impressive, actually. Really? When you were like 13?
Yeah.
I'm really impressed by that. That is...
Yeah, I'm remembering specific things. That was when I was freshman.
I never would have thought that you would have I never would have thought that you would have been a Steve Miller fan that young. That is interesting and impressive. That normally, because you normally don't think of people of classic rock seems like a thing that you got to be 16, 17, 18 typically to get into. I thought you still would have been in sort of a teen pop phase.
No.
Or perhaps your parents played this or something?
Well, yeah, I used to always steal my dad's records.
Yeah, there you go.
This is a great song.
Now, he was in concert last summer in Salem.
Really?
I missed it.
He comes here like 20 times a year.
Is he not from Oregon?
I don't think
so. Or he has a ranch in Oregon?
I think he's from Texas.
I heard this, though, that
Steve
he lived
Miller
in Oregon
comes to the
for
Northwest.
A while.
I swear to God, when I was in Spokane, he would play. He comes here like every month. I swear to God.
I think he lives here. I do.
You know what? I have no problem with that. He is huge. People still love him. And you know what? People can laugh at Steve Miller all they want, but think about the songs that guy has written that you know.
Yeah.
Jet Airliner, You Send Me, Jungle Love, Rockin' Me, The Joker, Abracadabra. I mean, that guy has done 8, 9, 10 songs that everybody knows word for word. And I got to tell you, I don't care what anybody says. The Joker is still a great song. I've never gotten tired of it. This, too. This is a great song.
Have you gone to see him in concert
long
yet?
Time ago, years ago. On the Wide River Tour.
Okay.
Well, which is, it was a record that sounded like all this other crap. Great guitar player.
Yep.
All right, there you go.
Moving right along to the number three baby song, George McCree. It might be McCree. Rock Your Baby.
Why do these songs all sound like bad porn soundtracks?
I don't know, but this version sounds different than what I remember.
Every song you bring us, it sounds like two white people making out on a bearskin rug in front of a fire with like a shaky handheld camera action. George McCree, Rock Your Baby.
I'm wondering if I have the wrong version here because I don't hear the singing, but I guess we'll find out in a moment.
The karaoke version.
There we go.
Woman.
Really?
There you go. Top five baby songs. A glass of white wine.
She likes the more Zinfandel.
Let me grab the box.
Let me put some more hickory wood on the fire.
Would you care for Boone's Farm peach or apple?
Let me break open another box.
All right, let's be done with this song.
Moving along to the number two song, Jude Cole, Baby It's Tonight. Now, this is kind of from my era, so...
Jude Cole? I haven't thought about Jude Cole in a while. Jude Cole the guy that did Start the Car?
I don't think so. He might have. I doubt it.
Maybe this is a different guy that I'm thinking of.
This is like from my 80s era, butt rock.
Am I confusing him with that guy that's just called Jude? Isn't there a performer who's just called Jude?
I think there is.
Yeah, that's who I'm thinking of, not this.
I mean, you've heard this song though before, right?
I probably changed the channel. This song has probably motivated me to find another station a time or two, yes.
It's actually pretty good when it gets to the chorus.
All right. These are Scotty J's Top 5 Baby Songs.
All right, it better be what I think it is for number one.
Oh, I know this, totally. I totally know this song. Yeah. I used to
used to have to play, I think I had to play this song as a DJ.
It's not a bad song. I can see myself outside on a sunny day like today, for instance, with the top down.
Boy, the 80s just announced themselves like no other decade. There is no other decade musically that is so obvious.
It's
and
not
easy
true.
To spot.
Because of the 90s, all that grunge rock or alternative rock.
You kids love this disco thing. Could you really just say that all that grunge rock from the 90s? All these slackers.
How many Pearl Jam sounded like were there? Stone Temple Pilots, Pearl Jam. I mean, on and on and on.
Pearl Jam.
I can only think of two.
Pearl Jam.
And Pearl Jam.
And we're done. Here's
the number one song.
What? Yeah. Oh, hold on. Now, Sarah, what do you believe the number one baby song is?
I believe it should be Britney Spears' Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Oh, well, let me see. I was going a different direction there, but I would accept that. The judge was going to. I would have said Baby Baby, Amy Grant.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
She you know what? So I passed that up. I passed that song
Amy
up.
Amy Grant was so hot. She's probably ugly now, but boy, she was hot.
No, she's not. She was just
she
on a
hot?
TV show, a Make-A-Wish show.
Is she still hot?
She looks maybe better.
You know, it's the power of Jesus that keeps her hot.
Well, that's what it was. It was a Make-A-Wish type show where...
I'm going to make
dying,
a wish about Amy Grant.
Dying children yeah. got their wishes.
Oh, Z! All right, what's the number one song?
The number one song goes to...
Player. Oh, come on.
What?
Player.
Player. I know. You know what?
What is this?
Here's the deal.
Sarah doesn't know Player. It's before her time. It's a terrible song.
This top five was created 2 weeks ago, and 2 weeks ago my mood was a lot different than it is today.
You're in a porn mood?
Today I'm more like a...
2 weeks ago you had a huge mustache. going to Studio 54 to swap wives, apparently.
Yeah. So unfortunately, it was like a cloudy day when this thing was created, and cloudy days create slow songs. Here at AM 970.
Player, they're a total one-hit wonder, aren't they?
Totally.
Is this their hit?
Yes.
Doesn't it sound like a hit? You know who's you know who knows Player word for word is a Player.
Oh, I know.
Oh, we missed the chorus.
Oh yeah, you got to put that in there.
Clyde knows everything there is to know about this group for some reason.
Does.
All right, we're gonna take something else and do a break here. All right, let's see. We're gonna turn this off now because it's terrible. Hold on. All right, thank you.
Yes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Sarah, is my computer up? All right, we're gonna let this see. Okay, we'll take a break here. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. We'll come back. We've got phone calls around the corner. A final visit to Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. We got Likas coming up at 3, Donna Mike at 7, and so forth. Don't forget tomorrow, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. There you go, Scotty. I'm sorry it took so long to get to that, Scotty. Your microphone is off. All right, yes,
I'm glad it's over.
Uh huh. Yeah, I wish I could say
we can work on a new one.
Yeah, let's get right on that. Don't go anywhere. The Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid, stay ready. You stay ready. Commercial break, but I have to weigh in on this Amy Grant song. You know, here's a thing.
Is this the new running commentary about how hot she is in the video?
She is. She's amazingly hot. And later she's in a polka dot dress, I'm pretty sure. Let me ask you this. Maybe there's a thing you can't answer. But you know, as you get older, some fashion from your adolescence or your earlier years, you can recognize as being terrible. You know, like you look back and you're embarrassed by it and you're horrified by the hairstyle or the clothing. There are certain things, though, that I have a blind spot for. In other words, intellectually, I know that they're unfashionable and I know that they'd never fly now as a fashion. But they still register with me as hot. You know what still registers as hot with me is that big, curly 80s hair. She's just got that big 80s hair in this video. And I guess my brain knows that that's ugly and not attractive anymore, and it's a bad fashion choice. But you know what? I look back at girls from the 80s who have that big, trashy hair, and I still find it really sexy. I know I'm not supposed to. I do, though. Case in point. All right, I got to quit talking. Yeah. I'm just going to keep going on about it.
Okay.
You just do whatever you have to do. I'm just going to sit over here and watch Amy Grant. La 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 la
says it all. Rick, Amy Grant is hotter than balls. It's true.
All right, I'm just going to skip ahead.
She's attracting you.
She really is. Oh, and you know, see, am I becoming creepy? Is this creepy?
Yes.
I can't tell you this thing. She's
you can love
really
Amy Grant, but you can't love her this much. It's just weird.
It's just in this video. And in the video for Every Heartbeat.
So you're torturing everybody with the song because you're watching a video because you think she's not.
No, because, and she's doing these, like three small things here. One, she's wearing a hat, which is, you know, some chicks can make that work. She's got like a, you know, like a fedora type thing, like a bowler. B, she's got the classic thing. She's got the blue jeans and the white t-shirt. That's like the best look ever. And then C, well, she's got this polka dot dress, but I don't know where that is. That's coming up at some point. Ladies and gentlemen, he is your president, your prophet, your seer, and your revelator.
Now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Down to the water in Lincoln City, specifically Nye Beach. State health officials warn, avoid contact with the ocean water till further notice. What'll happen? Well, because the ocean is loaded with fecal bacteria. You'll have gastritis, skin rashes, upper respiratory infections, and other illnesses.
You're all going to die.
But it's okay to play in the sand.
Swallow it by the pound.
This message brought to you by the Lincoln City Chamber of Commerce. That teacher accused of stealing a student's jacket and trying to sell it on eBay has resigned. Elizabeth Logan of Hillsboro resigned in front of the Hillsboro School Board after a 20-year career in the public school system. She most recently taught first grade at Jackson Elementary. She's been on paid administrative leave since her February arrest. And she'll be arraigned tomorrow in Washington County Court. She faces felony charges and theft and computer crime.
Good, in her face.
Police in Florida were embarrassed when a driver with no arms and just one leg lost them in a high-speed chase. Again! The driver, Michael Wiley, who overcame three amputations, had himself to drive with stumps. Got away. He has since become one of Pasco County's most prolific traffic offenders.
That's wonderful.
The police officer said he spotted Wiley in a suspicious vehicle, a blue Ford Explorer, outside a convenience store. When they went to investigate, the Explorer took off, leading police on an 8-mile chase before losing its pursuers. Police are now putting on a warrant on Wiley, who led deputies on a 120-mile-an-hour police chase down I-95. Let's see. According to records, he had stolen the car, kicked the state trooper, and attacked his wife head first. He's awaiting separate drug and illegal driving charges and faces 5 years in prison. He's one of the best drivers I've seen in a long time, said a long-time acquaintance. Michael Moore is being probed by the federal government.
I wonder whose job that is. Maybe you draw lots for that.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, he was taking 9/11 rescue workers to Cuba for a segment of his upcoming healthcare documentary, Sicko. The investigation provides another contentious lead-in for a provocative film by Moore, a fierce critic of the president. Sicko promises to take the healthcare industry to task, the way Moore confronted America's passion for guns and bowling for Columbine. The Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control notified Moore in a letter that it was conducting a civil investigation for possible violation of U.S. trade embargo.
You know, seriously, F them. If we have trade and you can travel with, if you have trade with China and we can travel to China,
yes,
there's no reason that you shouldn't be able to go to Cuba. You know, my wife, I think, is going to Cuba later this year. She's going to have to do it by going through Canada or something.
Yep, you can do it through Canada.
You can't go to Cuba. You know, you can't go to Cuba. And look, Cuba's far from being a perfect world, and they got a doddering dictator who runs that place. But, you know, God forbid you go to a country where there's a 100% literacy rate and everybody gets health care. You know, there's nothing good about that at all. The fact that he has to take 9/11 workers there to get health care, by the way, the fact that they have to spin that into something, I mean, you know, really that tells you what you need to know.
Well, it was more than a black tie event at the Boston Pops concert. As a matter of fact, it was a black eye event. Two men got into a fight at the balcony at Symphony Hall. Television video showed two men struggling in the balcony. One has his shirt pulled off, and several people stood around screaming. The conductor briefly stopped the performance, which featured singer-songwriter Ben Folds, while the men were escorted out. Witnesses heard screaming, then the sound of chairs crashing. There were no injuries reported.
Fantastic.
Actress/singer Jennifer Lopez, as she's now described, has reportedly been receiving threats for wearing fur. According to the Daily News, the 37-year-old, so that makes us wonder how old she really is, has increased her security team in the wake of angry letters from animal rights people threatening to kill her in public, just as she slaughters animals she wears. A rep for Lopez says the story is untrue, and that her client has the same security tips she always had. So that's that.
All right, here you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth, world's greatest newsman. He'll be back in just over an hour.
Yes.
At 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Top of the hour all the way through Lycus, ladies and gentlemen. Tim Riley. Let's get... Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey. You know, Rick, that Amy Grant song is about her kid.
Baby?
Yeah.
Really? Well, it's not so much about the song as about it as it is about the fact that she's hot.
I know, but it adds to the creepy factor.
Really?
She had a kid back then? I thought she was really young when that song came out.
Well, you know, she's Christian, though, and they all reproduce like rabbits.
Yeah, my God-fearing parents wanted me to be listening to that, so that's how I got the bio.
Oh, you know, and then it was all scandalous because she had an affair with, what's his name, Vern Gosden, I think, or no, Vince Gill?
Vince Gill, yep.
And she got kicked out of the little God Club because she was getting it on with some guy. Oh, look at that.
I thought she was hot while I was listening to her and going to church, so...
No, she's you know, you were right. She was hot, and Scotty says still is a... Scotty says she looks a lot like Mimi Rogers now, who's Tom Cruise's first wife, and Mimi Rogers is smoking, so I'm with you on that. Sometimes I can understand why you think I'm creepy. What?
I said cognitive dissonance. Listening to God music, thinking she's hot.
It's true. All right, thank you.
See
all right, and very quickly, final call. Hello.
Hey, Rick, how we doing?
What's up, bro?
Dude, I was just thinking, in that top five, I was reminded of how many pale, skinny little chicks with glasses I made out with in high school to the Disintegration album. Oh, my God.
Totally. You put on The Cure, Disintegration, you get a girl who cuts herself or has daddy issues, you are in.
And, dude, is it just me, or every time Scotty's on the air, does he sound drunk?
Yeah.
Is it just me?
Yeah, no, it's the fact that he's drunk. He doesn't sound drunk, sir. All right.
There we go.
Thank you, my friend.
Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. And well, let's go. Do you have the other... Aaron pointed out that this is, if you are a drama nerd, this was... Totally. And I was talking, we were talking about this during the break, this is sort of a Gregorian version of Justify My Love. Same like early trip-hop, kind of spoken word, kind of make-out sex techno-porn music. And the fact, I remember how hot we all thought it was when we found out the girl is speaking and she's saying, give me pain. And we're all like, that's so cool, she wants pain. It's hot. And I didn't even really know what the hell did I was like, 14. All right. You know, I'm doing the hottest thing. I really do sound creepy.
Yeah.
You're playing this, but while you're playing this, I'm watching
Amy Grant.
I'm watching the video of Amy Grant in that polka dot dress. And listening to this. And she's in a polka dot room with a polka dot umbrella.
Is she dancing for you?
It is. It's like she was open at 7 a.m. waiting to talk to me. I'm going to go by and have a conversation with Amy Grant. That's a joke. I'm referring to a thing. You just do whatever you need to do over there. Minding my P's and Q's over here. This really is bizarre, watching Amy Grant and listening to this.
Okay. I'm starting to feel uncomfortable listening.
No, it's just weird. Because she's all bright, and she's like in a room bit with daisies with this huge Christian smile on her face and bad 80s hair. And they've decided to film everything through a blue filter for some reason. And now she's rolling around on the floor with a puppy. It's all kinds of strange. Cole, Art Bell. This totally sounds like Cusco.
I love this song.
Have you ever seen the guy that did this? The guy who is Enigma?
Yeah, no.
Creepy looking bastard.
Is this the one in the video that I'm watching right now?
I don't know. He looks like, I don't know. He looks like he ought to be at a Ren Faire. Like
here's the part.
Yeah.
See, and you can look at Amy Grant and picture her saying this.
See, now who's being creepy? Now you're just
provoking
me.
You know that you're doing it, weirdo.
Okay, stop. I feel all oogie. Just take us for a good old break. Leave me alone. Now into the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Rick, this email says, that subject brought back some great memories. The first time I made out with some dirty foster chick in the back of my friend's blazer, we had metal church blaring. Well done, sir. And we were drinking Rainier. Thank God I had a mullet to cover up the hickeys. Oh, to be a teenager again. Yes.
Hickey.
All right. Well, that's a whole different topic. All right, let's, Is my computer up over there?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I think I got to close the Amy Grant thing, or it's not going to...
You haven't closed that yet, Cookie?
No, it was still open. Shut up! All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you have not registered to become an AM 970 glorious bastard, you got to be doing that. You can do it at 970.am, 970.am. Why do you want to do that? Well, for example, just ask glorious bastard Jeff Mowry. Greetings and salutations, Jeff Mowry. You are being addressed at this moment because you, yes, you, have been selected as the AM 970 glorious bastard of the week with all the rights and privileges that entails. In addition to the envy of your fellow man, you'll receive a bountiful cornucopia of items from the AM 970 pile of crap, including tickets to see Portland's own Rose City Rollers, as well as the wonderful knowledge that, for at least this 1 week, you are just a little bit better than everyone else. Enjoy your newly elevated status, and don't hesitate to lord it over the less fortunate. After all, that's what they're there for. Thank you for listening, Jeff Mowry. You are the glorious bastard of the week. And don't forget, you can register to become a glorious bastard at 970.am. 970.am. Okay, did that time out perfectly?
Sure.
How long do I have to fill?
30 seconds.
Well, damn. Let's see, just something about drama nerds. Something about the violence at high schools, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. But this is usually when I read something interesting. An email that's just the right length to fill all the...
You
want to
talk about Amy Grant some more?
Oh, here we go. Amy Grant. Let's see. Amy Grant. I went to see her back in 85. It was fantastic. She was amazing. The tour was for the Unguarded album. Her big hut off the album was Find a Way, blah, 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 blah. She talked about God being wonderful and said we should all pray together. Then she holed it up in her leopard spotted jacket. I don't think you can say that anymore. And we're done. See, there you go. That was not terribly good, but it did the job. We want to thank CNN radio correspondents Bob Costantini and Steve Castamom. Join us tomorrow when we'll have Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com and so on and so forth. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio in the newsroom. Tim Riley, our PA is Scotty J, and the gatekeeper is the one and only Dave Zinn. As always, my friends, don't let the bastards grind you down and do try to help the retarded. We'll see y'all tomorrow at 11 a.m. following Stephanie Miller, 6 to 8, and Dennis Miller, 8 to 11. Bye now.